Welcome to the Shotcast. It is episode 22 because we are keeping it real this time around.
What?
Stephen Hawking's favorite podcast.
It had to come around at some point. I mean, it was inevitable that we would get here.
Yes.
So
we have had a long, strange journey.
Yep.
And here we are. It is post Thanksgiving. It is a few weeks before Christmas. I would expect we will have one more episode prior to the holiday season.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. So, and if you're not a Christian and, you know, going to heaven and believing all the things that person should.
I'll see you.
Yeah, see you in hell, I guess. Have a happy pre-holiday season. We are on the heels of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, my two favorite holidays.
Oh, yes.
So, the game season has slowed down a bit after just a metric butt ton. Again,
I beg to differ.
I was about to defer as well.
I think there was a big hit. Like, there was, kind of Fallout weekend where a whole bunch of shit happened. Mm-hmm. But there's been a couple of good releases since then, I think. And then this kind of thing happens here. Listen to this.
Oh.
That's the wrapping off my new copy of Destiny, The Taken King, Bo.
Oh, is it really? Oh, we are definitely going to record that, sir.
Yeah. We'll talk about this when we get to that section, but it just came today.
All right. Well, excellent. Yeah, you scored some purchases. But and I didn't mean to imply that there are no releases.
It's slowed down, but it's I think it's kind of been a pretty good year this year for video games, so in general.
Yeah, I would expect next episode you will hear us talking about the best and worst of the year from our perspective. Let's measure some expectations. Let's not pretend.
There will be games that should be on the list that we just did not play.
Right.
Yeah.
There are games that will be on the list that we haven't played to completion, I would wager.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, this is the impression I had of the game to this point. Here is my review.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. I mean, it's just, we're just men. You know, we're not gods. Unless you're strangling a hooker, and then you can feel like a god for a minute.
Just a second.
A fleeting...
Just at that moment... Never mind. I'm going to stop.
No, I know the moment you're talking about. It's the moment the light fades from the eyes, and there's nothing like it. I was watching an episode last night of Autopsy on HBO.
And Segway!
Yeah, I don't really even have a good story for this other than to say it had been a long time since I watched any Autopsy. Although at one time I enjoyed that show quite a bit. And it is the most, like, murder porny show
that
ever murder porned.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a glut of those now. You go to, you know, was it Discovery ID, I think, is the network that is just like, here's people being murdered. Enjoy.
The Mystery Channel.
Yep.
Well, but the History Channel at least puts it in some kind of context.
No, the Mystery Channel.
Oh, Mystery.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Oh, Histories totally. Mysteries.
Yeah, Mystery Channel.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know.
Yeah, that one had, like, such fine programming. I mean, that was totally the murder porn. It was, you turn it on every night, and every single episode of whatever show was on was about a woman that murdered her husband.
48 hours mystery, 24 hours a day.
I never really liked the 48 hours mystery too much because they
people think we're dark for wanting to kill hookers. I mean, Jesus Christ, man.
I get it though. For the first time in maybe my life, I think I understand the idea of like I'm gonna murder my mate.
Coming from a dark place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I ever would because this would be a horrible alibi, but. This would just be Exhibit C.
I'm not saying I did it, but if I had, this is how I would have done it.
Right.
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, here's the book.
Oh, that is the most asinine thing that was ever put down. If I did it. O.J. Simpson.
Here's how I redeem myself, guys. I write the book about how I would do it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Like, if you were the parents of... Nicole Brown or who was the other guy that got whacked? Ron
Weasley.
If you were the if you were the parents, if you were the Weasleys or the Browns, if when that book hit, you would never stop trying to break into that prison to strangle that guy, you know?
Oh my god, that guy's dad must just, the veins must have just fucking popped out of his head.
Yeah, oh my god. Like, do you hear OJ's doing a book? Oh, you mean the person who murdered my son? Yeah, what's the name of the book?
What's this book about?
Yeah, it's called
Murdering Your Son.
It's called If I Did It, Wink Wink. Oh. That's a thing that happened. Can you believe that?
There are certain. Yeah. It's, you know, I'm tempted to think that it's possibly the most genius piece of marketing I've ever seen.
Forward by Cato Kaelin.
Yeah.
Was it really?
No.
Oh. But I mean, that's just as believable.
Yeah. Right.
The whole.
Except I couldn't. I had to Google his name because I kept thinking he was Cato Kaelin. Which is Keiko from Star Trek. Boom, Star Trek reference.
Boom.
We got it in.
All right. Now we can stop.
And I feel like we're going to circle back around to that because I've been playing space games.
Space games.
You know, it is kind of stunning to me before we jump into video games. That not only that O.J. Simpson wrote a book that basically was a confession written on, you know, a nice trade paperback form, but that there is an entire, apparently not just one network now, but multiple networks that really are just, you know, here is murder and sexual assault for your entertainment.
Yeah.
Is it any wonder the terrorists want us dead?
It's freedom, man. That's freedom.
Freedom.
That's the price of freedom, man.
Freedom looks like an episode of Autopsy.
You want to be free? You got to let OJ get away with it once in a while.
That's what my grandpappy fought for on the beaches of Normandy.
Did your grandfather fight on the beaches of Normandy?
No, he was a drill sergeant.
Okay.
Nice. I'm close enough.
He was involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I said we were keeping it real this episode, that was a lie. as we have learned quickly. So, getting back to video games, though, there are a few releases coming out, but it's just not as hot and heavy as the previous weeks had been, which, you know, gives us some time to relax, enjoy the games we have in the spirit of the American holiday of Thanksgiving to give thanks for such games. Let's kick it around the old table here. And I didn't introduce anybody either, so I'm really falling down in my hosting duties. But let's start with Justin McFerrin.
That's me.
That is you.
I played... Dolan and I played a little bit of Dying Light co-op.
Yeah, that was
with,
fun.
With Andy. It was really fun. Yeah, I was kind of skeptical about that
power,
game when I was...
Power listener of the show, Andrew Dickinson.
Oh, that's
man
funny.
Can't get enough. Sends me...
You
like,
really can't.
Requests in the mail for headshots all the time. It's nice, actually.
Yeah.
I had to sign some really weird stuff for him.
Yeah. He's a good kid.
I don't want to talk
about it. I had to sign things and then take pictures of it, so.
I was real skeptical about that game when I was playing it by myself.
Yeah.
It's fun. The parkour's... everything works,
it works
in it.
Yeah. Climbing those towers is kind of a pain in the ass.
It's like those Far Cry towers just on crack.
Yeah, like, it was. It was like Far Cry, I think the climbing in that actually works. Like there's a few hard jumps, but in Dying Light, it's...
You like,
I just need to get more used to it or something. It's extreme first person. Like I wish I could open the field of view a little bit. Maybe there's a setting in a slider in the options or something, but I feel like the field of view is really tight.
I definitely feel that too.
I'm sure there's a tilde key that will work.
Well, and I'm wondering if that's not almost intentional because it's a fucking zombie game that they're trying to keep your view real tight. So it, you know, because there's times where zombies just come out of fucking nowhere in that game.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I mean, but like I said, once you get three people playing it, it instantly becomes hilariously fun, because like the first zombie we ran across, we all just sat there and like bashed its head in by kicking it for a good, like, 30 seconds after it was dead.
Like the fax machine in Office Space.
Just yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like I've referred to it as, like, a punch-up in an Irish pub.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just, like, back the zombie into a corner and teach him a lesson.
Man. It was pretty gruesome. Like, there's blood squirting all over, and, like, his head came off at one point. I mean, just we kicked the shit out of that zombie. None of us had any weapons. We're just like, you know, Justin logged on and he's, I said, yeah, you know where the kick button is, right? And he's like, no, where's the kick button?
Yeah.
30 seconds later, we were just gang beating this zombie into pieces.
And feeling like a god for a moment.
That was fucking great.
Exactly.
No, so yeah, it does like survival zombie pretty well. I'm way interested to play more of that, but I think I'm going to just save it for when everybody can co-op on it. Because I don't want to ruin it single player.
Yeah, and like some of the mechanics they have in there to make it more conducive to co-op, where like if a person gets to the mission objective, you have like a hotkey to just fast travel if you're like if you're really far behind.
That's fucking great. And everybody in your party, so to go back to power listener Andy Dickinson, he referred to it as the Andy Dickinson button while we were playing last night.
Yeah, I heard about that as well. Yeah.
If one of your party gets to the objective, the rest of them, you just get a prompt on your screen that says, we're all playing with Xbox controllers, or Andy and I were, so it was the back button, but it just says, hold down this button, and you will just warp to the objective where your co-op player has already achieved. It's fucking great. There's some bullshit zombie action in that thing sometimes.
Yeah, I you know, I played up to the point that we could do co-op. So I was disappointed that I didn't get to jump in on that, but I'm curious. You know,
we'll be there again. It was cool, and it's got a Borderlands style progression. So if you're just starting out, we can all just join your game, and we will do the story missions over that we've already done, but we still get experience points for it.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so it works.
Yeah, Dying Light is a game that I had almost no interest in playing up until it was like, well, I'm going to buy it.
Until it was $20?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
And but I think that's, you know, like playing it single player kind of isn't my jam, I don't think. But I could, like, I don't have a whole lot of interest in going back to it and playing a single player campaign based on what I've played, but the multiplayer sounds super fun. I could see where co-op would be just a good time. And
it's kind of, for me, like, I like playing Borderlands by myself, but it's nowhere near as fun as playing a co-op. And this game is just not quite as good as Borderlands. So, you know, co-op is the only way, I think, to really get what it's trying to. You miss a whole component of, you know, having teammates around you helps, and you can all just run off, you know, roughshod to the fucking waypoint and go in, you know, three different directions, but it kind of behooves you to stick together because, you know, sometimes you just get fucking stuck. There's a shit ton of zombies, and all right, let's beat a path through this real quick. And
it was also really cool when there are, like, these sort of, like, zombie encounters where, like, we just, like, walked out of the main mission area, and it's like, now all of a sudden there's this other player who is a real person that we don't know, and he's this crazy zombie, and he's hunting us down. And that was, like, a match. And, like, at that, to me, that was seamless. I didn't press a button.
It was absolutely, like, all of a sudden we were fighting that guy, and then at one point, I think, I can't remember who saw it, but somebody said, oh, the guy's name is this. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean, the guy? And it was his login name. It was his username. So somebody just randomly matched to our room for this nighttime zombie event. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I mean, and it was 5 minutes long, and we kind of got our asses kicked, but it was still, because by the end of it, we were starting to kind of catch him, and we got a little bit better at it. And I thought it was cool, man. I like the mechanic with the, you have a UV flashlight, so when the other player gets close to you, if you spot him, you just hold down your left trigger, and you whip out your flashlight, and you shine it on him, and it actually burns him, and he has to walk away because he starts losing health because of it. And then, you know, while you're doing that, obviously try to chase him down and beat the shit out of him, but man, if you could have guns in that mode, I wonder how that would change it up.
Well, then it's just Borderlands.
No, I mean, because you can get pistols and shit in there, but I'm wondering, and it's real dark in that game at night.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be, I don't know. Well, So the disadvantage there, it's got a cool system with noise, too. We picked up, I picked up a propane tank, and then Justin would hit it, and that would ignite, the gas would, like, start pouring out of it, and then you could throw the propane tank, and it would blow up. And it was cool because you could blow up a huge group of zombies with it, but right after the explosion, like, the echo of it just starts to settle, you hear this just horrific roar of zombies kind of emanating from all around you, and so it's attracting all of them to your position.
I hear that all the time.
Oh, it's really a fucking cool sound. It's roar. You hear this big roar, and it's echoing through all the buildings and shit. And you can see them, like, if you're up somewhere high, you can kind of see all the zombies nearby all turn around and look towards you. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's they've got some good mechanics in that game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and like we said, the climbing. It's sketchy. It can get irritating when you're looking at a ledge, and so you look at the ledge, and then you hold down the climb button, and if you're kind of looking at the right part of the ledge, he just automatically climbs up. And there's spots where it works really good, but then I thought there was times where, like, oh man, I should be able to grab that, and it just wouldn't catch it. And I don't know if that was I was trying to jump too far, or that I wasn't supposed, even though it kind of looked like you could probably get a finger hold on it, they just didn't program it in. I don't know. But yeah, that got a little irritating in a couple of spots. But
all right, Justin, what else have you been playing?
I picked up the Rainbow Six Siege.
I'm very curious about this. How is it?
I got that as well, but I have not played it yet.
I haven't played online yet. I've been pretty adamant about making it through all the tutorial stuff on the hardest difficulty. But honestly, it's really fun so far. I think the same criticism I had when I played the beta of, like, it probably get old pretty quick still stands, but I think it's one of those games where you've got 45 minutes, you've got an hour you want to kill, you just hop in, play a couple matches, and you're done with it. You know, it's not like a Daisy where you have to plan a whole night around it or
yeah.
Other games like that. I think as long as you're not trying to sit there and play it for 4 hours straight, you're not going to get bored with it because The matches are, from all the videos I've watched of people playing online, they're extremely dynamic where, you know, I mean, every time is different. You know, it's you're going to come up with different ways to defend against different people, and you're going to find different ways to attack. And go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to. I read that there is they're bringing back terrorist hunt mode. Is that true?
Yeah, that's already in there. Okay, so
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
Nubo would like that.
And I played some of that solo after work today, and it is hard. It's like you're one dude against like 30 terrorists trying to get through these, you know, this whole facility or, you know, map. And I didn't complete a single one.
I remember being really impressed when we played Rainbow Six Vegas for the first time, Bo, when we would do that terrorist hunt mode. I was really impressed with the artificial intelligence in that. And as you played it more, you could kind of find the routine to it. So I'm really interested in seeing, because that was, 2006 that game first came out, the first one. And, dude, it's been like 9 years. I'm curious what they can do with, you know, because what made that fun initially that wore off eventually was that it seemed like the enemies were really smart. You know, like they didn't just stick their head out at like predetermined intervals so you could just kind of wait and pop them. Like they would run for cover and they would come up behind you again and shit like that.
Well, in this one, it kind of scales in that on like normal difficulty, the AI doesn't really use like the gadgets and the destructibility. But then as you go up, they will, you know, straight up shoot through a wall.
Nice.
Because they know you're, you know, they can hear your footsteps on the other side of it. So you'll be trying to sneak from room to room, and all of a sudden there's just someone unloading a magazine, you know, in a line through the wall.
So cool.
And you're rushing out of the room, and you rush out of the room, and there's two dudes in the hall, you know.
I can't fucking wait to play this game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I mean, Green Man Gaming has it for, it was like 40% off. It was like $39.99.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Yes. I mean, that's like the cheapest I've ever seen a day one game on there going for.
Well, and maybe they're You know, I haven't heard how, because it's multiplayer only. There's no single player campaign, right?
There's no campaign. You can play Terrace Hunt single player.
Yeah, single player, which is I mean, I did tons of that, but straight up multiplayer in Rainbow Six Vegas was good too, but not like the Terrace Hunt was really what shined in that game, I think.
You also get a free copy of Rainbow Six Vegas when you buy it.
And then I'll have two. Actually, three. Oh,
yeah. Right. They get in the walls and breed at night.
Past that, though, those are really the only two games I've been playing a lot of. I haven't played Fallout at all since the last podcast. I mean, I started a new job, so I've just had a ton of stuff going on. I just haven't had a lot of time. Mm. But I've ever since I bought Rainbow Six... yesterday, I like every free moment that I've had, I've spent playing it.
Have you done just regular multiplayer matches or just Terrace Hunt?
I haven't done any of the multiplayer yet.
Okay. You've just done the tutorials a little bit, and yeah. What is that like? Are they kind of teaching you the like? Because I know you can plant like wall charges and shit. Is it run you through all that stuff or?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of like the like Call of Duty used to have the like the missions you could do with a buddy.
Right.
It's kind of like that. So like one of them is like you have to protect this hostage, and oh, by the way, you can barricade walls, and you know, here's the way the game is there are different operators who have different abilities. So like one guy, he has the ability to set booby traps on like doorways and windows. So you have a mission where you're trying to defend and you play as that guy who you can then unlock later through points. So it kind of introduces you to the different characters and then shows off some of their abilities while also introducing you to the mechanics of the game.
Oh, seems like a good way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty fun. They're fun little missions. I've played them, a couple of them, like repetitively because I kept dying, because when you play it on the hardest difficulty, they're just damn near impossible. But they're really a lot of fun. I really wish that there would be DLC where maybe they would do something more like that, where it's, I don't know if it would be co-op or, you know, they're really pushing the multiplayer on this, so I doubt
they'll
do
it. Maybe there'll be some additional modes, because there was, I don't really remember, but I remember there was a lot of really good maps in Vegas. And kind of that's what made it hold up. Like, I mean, you were still playing Terrorist Hunt, but there was a lot of options. Like, you could change the number of terrorists. I think you could change the time. And so there were some modifiers per map. I don't remember if there was a story in those. I remember that, but I can't recall if there was anything other than just Terrorist Hunt and then straight up multiplayer.
I don't recall. I mean, we just got so wrapped up in Terrorist Hunt.
There's no reason to play anything
else. Like, who cares what else is in this game?
That sounds cool. Yeah. How are the, like, the graphics look pretty tight, and the, like, destructible environments seem pretty well done.
Yeah, and it seems like it's really well optimized. I mean, I've turned a couple things down, and I think when I was noticing today, I mean, I was in the hundreds of frames per second pretty consistently. Yeah, I mean, the maps are relatively small, so that helps a lot. The destructibility is really awesome, and I can't stress that enough. It's so much fun to, like, have a shotgun and, like, blow a couple holes through a wall, then, like, swap to your pistol.
And, like, is it all, like, indoor, kind of close quarters environments?
Yeah, all the ones that, the missions that I've played so far, there's certainly an exterior element to all of the maps, where, you know, if you're the attackers, you are coming in from the outside, and you could be, there's like a sniper kind of guy where you could technically be outside for most of it, if like your team busted open the windows and you just happen to catch a guy in front of them.
Oh, nice.
But I don't think I've played...
Are there, like, multiple points of entry when you're doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and that's so what fucking made Rainbow Six so good.
You might have, like, a three-level structure, and each level has, you know, the bottom level might have two entry points, the middle level or ground floor might have three or four plus maybe six windows, and then you can rappel on any of the structures, and it's pretty awesome because you can rappel, you can invert, and then knock out just a tiny little bit of a window and just barely peek and shoot through the window and kill people.
That's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's just like real life.
Yeah, just like real life. But yeah, no, it's. I think it's going to be a really good game. I don't. There might be some like competitive, you know, element to it down the line where there's some tournaments and stuff, because it seems like it lends itself pretty well to that kind of competitive multiplayer.
Esports? You talking esports there, Justin?
Esports. Esports.
All right. Esports. It's in the game. Nice.
Oh, you guys.
Jinx.
Somebody owes someone a Coke. John Dolan.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. And
oh, are we doing this now?
Yeah, we're actually doing the show now.
Sorry.
So what about you? What have you been playing?
Dying Light, which I agreed with pretty much everything Justin said. I played a little bit of Fallout 4. And the only thing really new that I have to report about that is I kind of have gotten a little bit more respect for the kind of physics system in that game. Like, it can be a little floaty, and like you'll see tons of, you know, animated GIFs and YouTube videos and shit of like things going absolutely haywire in that game, because it's from Bethesda and that's what happens. But I really like specifically when you're fighting against, there's like an android enemy and they're called a synth and they're basically just a Terminator. And I get like just a visceral satisfaction out of shooting them in the stomach, just slightly above the waist with a shotgun, and blowing them in half, because just metal parts go flying all over the place. There's this nice loud clank to it, and then the torso falls to the ground, and he keeps coming at you, like crawling at you Terminator style with just his arms. Fucking awesome looking.
That sounds awesome.
Do you do the headshot at that point? Like put him down?
Yeah, then I go into bats and get the nice cinematic, you know, queue up as many headshots as I possibly can with however many action points I've got. Bam, bam.
Do you remember when zombies used to do that in DayZ?
I know. They used to crawl.
A long time ago, yeah. Yep. That didn't happen anymore.
No.
A tale of two DayZs. That's.
You hear? You see what you've done, DayZ? You've turned away a true fan.
Playing Remember Wins, you know,
with a game that's not out yet.
Oh man, that is a world. Truly tragic story.
What a world!
But anyway, all right, let's not get sad just yet.
No, So Fallout 4 is still great. I'm not sure what my clock is on that. I bet I'm at least 27, 28 hours into it. And I've been doing, like, kind of sticking to story-type missions, not getting too sidetracked by side missions, but, it's decent. It's a Fallout story. It's basically the exact same story that Fallout 3 has, like, looking for a family member who you lost. It doesn't seem super deep, but it's got all the Bethesda things that I like about those games, where, you know, each, you know, story mission you go on is kind of a little story within itself. So they're, you know, kind of have a satisfying nature to them. And then when you get that cha-ching noise at the end of each mission, that's always really good. Still loving it. That's a great game.
Yeah, I've got some time off coming up around Christmas, and I think that's going to be some Fallout kind of activity during that period.
I really love Killing Sense.
Yeah, that's the impression I'm getting is
I don't know what it is.
Your synth-based bloodlust knows no sate.
I don't know. Something about me is preparing for the robot takeover.
The inevitable robot uprising. This is just this is your last starfighter for that.
You have been selected
by the Star League to kill synths with a shotgun. Bam!
First, cut them in half. Yep. Then spend your action points blowing their skulls off.
I gotta start to try to like de-limb them. That might be fun.
All right, just let them try to headbutt you to death.
That's what's great about Fallout is it gives you that option. It's great.
All right, yeah. Fallout is one of those games that like I feel almost obligated to be playing more, and I just haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's kind of okay about that game is because the pacing of it is such that you can put it, it's really easy. The controls are basic for that game. It's not hard at all. I mean, once you understand where things are in the Pip-Boy, navigating, it's not hard. You know, there's a finite number of menus in there. Sure, there's a lot of shit, but, you know, the just playing that game makes you use all of those things. So you're just kind of like forced to, okay, that's where that is. Click, 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 click. And you just kind of learn it through almost muscle memory after a while. And then you can put it down and it's not hard to like pick that back up again, because it's just kind of left, right scrolling is all it really is. So when I'm away from it for a while, like I don't feel like guilty like I am with some like games. Like if what's a good example? BioShock Infinity. I really like that game. I really want to play it again, but it's always like bump it down the list, because it's just like, oh god, I have to figure out how to do all that shit again. I don't remember how to do this and that. And Fallout is just kind of like, yeah, that's how Fallout always plays. So it's just kind of ingrained. It's easy to go back to.
I missed a game.
All right, oh, go ahead. I'll allow it.
Judges.
I got invited to the next iteration of Star Citizen, the 2.0, where you now have the several system mini-universe, where you essentially, I say essentially because every time I've tried to play it, it has crashed. I've never actually been able to get into it. Either the servers are full, or it just crashes when it tries to load. But basically, you start at like a space station, where you can walk around.
I saw a video of this.
Oh, it's... And I've watched a ton of videos, and it just seems awesome. Where you walk around, you can go find your spaceship, hop in your ship. You now have a quantum drive that lets you travel to different systems. And then there's sort of this story of you're going around to these derelict space stations, and you're trying to turn them back on. Maybe, albeit like a radio transmitter or something. Yeah. But the... I think there's something like 40 people in each instance, so you may get to one of these stations, and you park your ship, you're floating around inside this thing, and you may run across someone, and as we all know from DayZ, everyone just kills everybody.
Yeah.
And that's like all the videos I've seen where like a guy is floating around a corner, and all of a sudden he sees a guy, and they just kill each other. but it's showing in crazy amount of progress for Star Citizen. Where
it looks like a nice kind of a proof of concept for a mission in the game.
Yes. And some of the stuff I've seen were like people will wait for someone to get in their spaceship and then run inside of it and like, you know, stow away, and they'll kind of ride on their spaceship till they get to this, you know, derelict space station, and then they'll wait for the person to leave, and then they'll just steal their ship.
Yeah.
All right. The burning question here is, do I need to download Star Citizen again?
If you have a internet bandwidth cap, I would not, because it's about 30 gigs.
Yikes.
Yeah. And I made the mistake of updating the regular version, which was 30 gigs, and then getting invited, and then turning around and having to download that 30 gigs on top of that.
But Google Fiber is so close now.
I know. I paid the $35, and now we're on the Comcast Unlimited thing.
You said that, you know, and I know we're just talking about video games here, but I think I'm going to end up doing the same thing. As much as I hate to give those blood-sucking bastards any more money. But at a certain point, it's like, I mean, I'm going to keep downloading games. That's how I buy games, is digitally. And
I don't want to have to not download a game for fear that it's going to cost me another $10 on top of what I already paid for the game. You know what I mean? Like, it stinks, because I always go over my cap. That's my own doing, but at the end of the month, I want to buy a game.
Caps are such bullshit in the first place. I mean, there's absolutely no reason for that to exist.
You're 100%
correct. There's not a shortage of bandwidth.
No.
There never will be.
Yeah, but Google Fiber is actually not only coming to Nashville, wherein Justin and I dwell.
Yes.
But it's like there are reports now of the workers in neighborhoods not too far away from me.
Oh, I done seen it.
Have you put eyes on?
You are in Nashville. That's the only place I know of where you hear phrases like, I done seen it.
Is that, it's true. Is that rare?
I don't understand. Do you want to hear my one Nashvilleism?
Sure.
That is my favorite. The whenever people are like, oh, you lived in Nashville? And I always tell them this story. I worked with this guy named Tim. And we worked in this office. And there was a secretary there who was as southern as you could possibly be. And whenever she called for Tim, she would call him Tim.
She added a couple of extra eyes, a couple of Y's, and then end at the end.
Tim.
Yeah. Tim. Yeah, that is not.
My computer ain't working.
Tim. I know this lady. I've met this woman several times in my life.
There was an Indian woman that worked in this office whose name was Poonam. And this woman called her Poonam.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's funny.
Mispronunciation aside, I bet that lady could bake the shit out of a pie.
She probably, you know what? I bet she'd had a few too. If I remember correctly. Yeah, she was kind of round. Yeah. Tim. That's Nashville. That's what I remember about the accent down there. I done seen it triggers that.
Yeah, but Google Fiber, ain't no data cap there, baby.
No,
it
baby.
Is just a
so
big
is,
old
is fat Comcast
pipe.
Just punishing Nashville because Google Fiber is coming there? And because I have Comcast and I do not have a data cap.
Well, we're what they refer to as a test market. So they're just
four data caps.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's just them saying like, "Hey, we're going to pick 9 or 10 cities and do this the most fucked up things we can imagine."
Yeah,
like this gladiatorial style. Let's throw some Christians at some lions and see what happens, and just see what the feedback is like. And I actually just recently got my letter from Comcast for my FCC filing, where I went to the website and I was like, "Dear FCC." I know isn't illegal, but it's certainly, a real pain in the ass. And as a consumer who actually uses the internet, for any number of reasons, both work-related and otherwise, I think this is real stupid. And I got my letter from Comcast that said, I mean, basically it was like, they said we can do it, so we're doing it.
Yeah, we got your letter.
Right. And like at the bottom, it was like, P.S., we just killed your megabytes down, so you're at like 5 megs now.
Yeah, you're on the list now, buddy.
Yeah, there was actually a dried cat turd just taped to the bottom of the letter, and there is like, here's what we think of your FCC complaint, and there was an arrow pointing right to it. And I thought that was rude.
It's just big smear of shit on it where somebody wiped their ass with your letter.
Well, but the thing is, and I know I've said this on this show before, but Comcast is uniquely positioned to be the most beloved company in the world if they just treated their customers like they were valuable as opposed to beast of burden to see how much they can load on them before they just break. And are just like, screw it, I'm gone. I don't even care if I have the internet anymore as long as I'm not paying Comcast another nickel.
But like, not even like treating their customers valuably, just treating their customers like they have a cursory knowledge of how the internet works. Yeah. And like, yes, bandwidth caps do not need to exist. I know plenty of people who don't know why that is, but I would say the majority of people who have internet like can figure out pretty easily that you're not going to use up all the internet.
Yeah. Right. If there's not a finite amount of internet that gets drained the more you use it.
Obama's not going to break into the news on like a Tuesday night. Everybody needs to stop using the internet.
We're almost out. We got to buy all our internet from Saudi Arabia now.
This is a national crisis. We need to immediately stop using the internet.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the thing that in their letter to me, as they're basically saying like, man, we're just going to keep doing it. It was just this attitude of, we understand as a company. This is me speaking as Comcast. This is my Comcast character, Bill Comcast,
Comcasty,
the Comcast spokesperson,
the son of a bitch,
Comcast, the internet
the
asshole,
son of a bitch. T-shirt. Gotta make a t-shirt.
But
self.
But yeah, I mean, they pretty much say without saying it, like, hey, most people don't use over, you know, 300 gigs a month or whatever. And it's like, all right, yeah, that's fine. But so, yeah, I do. And
so, yeah, so the people who don't use it, give me their extra.
Right. Why not you give me, yeah, some of that? Some rollover internet.
Yeah. I'm already paying for electricity based on how much of it I use. And when you're trying to charge me for bandwidth, which is basically just electricity, which I'm already paying for, it starts to seem like double dipping at some point.
Yeah, well, you know, and of course the corporate reasons behind it are just that, like every year they continue to lose more cable subscribers.
Yeah.
So how do you make up that revenue? And it's,
well, but like you said, they can just offer the superior service and everybody will just give them their money. And they don't.
Yeah, well,
like, it, you know, they choose to put bandwidth caps in place instead when they could just say, yeah, you know what? We don't do that because that's bullshit. Here, here's as much fucking internet as you want for $89 a month. Just download your fucking heart out, you know?
Yeah.
And at you know, 15 megabits per second or something like that, you know, or 150 megabits per second. So you're getting like a 15 megabyte download. That's all you need.
Yeah. And
just, greedy?
Like, yeah, let people pay if they want faster or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, and that, even that argument is dumb too, because faster is, yeah, my internet connection's great, but when I try to download a game from PS4, that shit is slow because their servers are slow. So what is fast internet doing for me at that point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, yeah, yeah, it's really frustrating to see a company that could be so kind to the people who use it most. And, yeah, and to me, that's the crazy thing, is the people who get the most out of your service are the ones that you're pushing away, as opposed, yeah, to saying, like, what, you know, the internet power users, the ones who are living off the internet day in, day out, how do we make you our evangelists so that every time your, you know, less informed family member says, hey, I need internet, what should I get?
I just get Comcast. It's easy as shit.
Right. It's, yeah, super fast and reliable, yep, and stable, and they don't charge you for bullshit. And instead, yeah, I don't know of anyone that I've ever heard say, you know what? I really like Comcast. It's like, this is what I got to have. Like, you know, Bell, yeah, South is too slow for my purposes. Comcast is the only other game in town. As soon as there's, yeah, another one, I'm going to jump ship like, you know, a rat.
I mean, if you're, what you're providing, as Justin said, if what you're providing is a finite service, fine. There can be a value scale to it. But there is no resource that you're handing out here. It's, I don't know. Or in a sense, you know, bandwidth is limited. But Jesus Christ, we're not bumping up against it. I mean,
yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Everybody's got their fucking phones going all the time. People are streaming movies, surfing the fucking internet, Facebook, 24 hours a fucking day, and it's fine.
Yeah. And like you said,
no, it's working great, everybody.
Like you said, the president hasn't come out and been like, look, everybody needs to chill with Facebook for, yes, the next 12 hours. We got to build up our internet resources again.
Yep, yep. We got to cut down some server forests. And
yeah, you want to buy that
plant
shit
some new
Canada?
Saplings, you know,
that's stick some mouse. You want to live in?
Stick some USB plugs for mice in the ground so we can grow some more RAM.
Right.
Fuck, man. Give me a break.
Oh, working the bandwidth farms like an immigrant. Plucking bandwidth from the trees.
And that's how the synths take over.
Oh,
you start
my God.
Growing computers.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right about that. Okay. What about...
We haven't had a good Comcast rant in a while. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's inspired by that patronizing letter I got where, like I said, it just starts off with, ain't nobody stopping us, so we're doing it.
Yeah.
And, oh, you motherfuckers. What else have you been playing? There needs to be a game.
I could just keep going, Matt, so I just need to stop at some point.
There needs to be like a Flash game that's just postal only with Comcast employees.
That's not, and it wouldn't even be controversial.
No.
Most played game on the
most
internet.
Most popular game ever created all over CNN.
Yes.
So many Twitch streams.
Just, oh, yeah. It, like, even people, like, who work ground level, like the customer service reps in that slow-ass office that they have.
Just like the facilities guys. Like, yeah, you're a janitor at Comcast. Bam!
And I'm sure that even they would play it. They'd be like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, no, this is great. Hey, Bob, I'm killing you right now. Check it out.
Yeah, we're horrible. And we don't want to be horrible, but our bosses make us be horrible to everyone.
Man.
Yeah, because it's not their fault. They're poorly trained and...
No, and that's... that. We've said this before on this podcast. This is my last one, I swear. When they send a guy, a technician, out to your house, and you can tell that they have just not given him the information that he needs to... Like, when he does have an upset customer who doesn't understand, they don't train them well enough to just explain the basics of what the problem is to people, you know? And that's not that difficult. Like, you know, the Comcast installer should be a good job. Like, you know, you maybe don't have the best education, you're just out of high school, but you've got some kind of tech leanings, like you're into computers or something. You should just be able to go get a job as an installer at Comcast. They should have a Dynamite training program, and that should be like a nice entry-level job. And instead, they just send those poor fuckers out to just get yelled at. That's really upsetting.
Yeah. Because
it doesn't need to be that way.
I don't want
to
be yelling at him.
No, and I don't. I'm like really patient with those guys, and they'll get on the phone with like the front office, and eventually, every single time I've had an installer out where there's some sort of a problem, I will just say, can I talk to them? Because I don't want to yell at you. It's just...
Yeah. I always go back to that scene from the movie St. Vincent where Bill Murray goes to a bank and is trying to withdraw some money. And he's overdrawn.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we had to put a service charge on there. And he's like, so you're charging me because I don't have any money to pay.
Money.
You.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I don't want to tell you to go fuck yourself. Is your boss around?
Yep. Comcast.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. I also played some Uncharted. I'm still on the very, very first of the trilogy.
Sure.
I was about 30% in last time I mentioned. I think I'm about halfway through it now.
Okay.
Still good. It's fun. It's, you know, dated, but it's the story. I believe you said this on the last podcast, the story in that game really kind of propels you through it. It's probably some of the, you know, the better writing I've ever seen in a game. And it's not like there's a lot of it. Like, you're on just kind of like this basic Indiana Jones type adventure, but it's like a really fun one. So,
yeah.
So you would compare and contrast the writing in Uncharted to the writing in Dying Light.
We did forget to bring that up, didn't we?
We did, yeah. There's some quality dialogue. If you need a doctor, go to the doctor.
Doctor.
Like,
that tracks. That adds up.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Comcast could take a page out of their book. Keep it simple, Comcast. If your internet is not working, please turn on the internet.
Yeah. The Uncharted stuff, you know, as I have said to you a number of times, I really think whatever faults there are in gameplay, which I don't think are egregious, but, you know, it's not perfect.
No. Well, and it's the very first one of those, and I can see it's one of those games where you go back to it and you're like, oh, yeah, this is where kind of the modern style of this adventure game genre started. Like, these guys kind of set a new bar with this game. And there's been a lot of advancements that make that way better since then, but like, you just kind of have to respect it while you're playing. You're just like, wow, this was, you know, even if you don't play it with the mindset that like, okay, this game is 6 years old, I'm going to just kind of give it, you know, you don't have to like allow it faults. Like, it's a good enough game in its own right. But then if you have that knowledge of, you know, what gaming has become since then, you kind of get almost a respect for it while you're playing it. It's kind of, I don't know, it doesn't happen a lot with games, but you can kind of see these turning points. So they really did do something special with that series.
Yeah, and I think it's legitimately very funny at times.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
It's sharply written. But yeah. So, well done. I'm looking forward to you getting to the second one, because I think that is much like Mass Effect 2, it's just the high water mark in that series.
Yeah. And this is my my game where Sarah and I alternate nights for putting our son to bed, and, you know, on nights where we're just going to, like, sit down and watch some TV or something, you know, I'll, like, clean up the kitchen really quick if it's her turn to put him to bed, and then I'll sit down, and I've got my PlayStation in the living room, and I'll just fire up Uncharted, throw on my headphones so that, you know, because he's going to bed, but I can still crank it up, and I'll play, you know, 30, 45 minutes of that game, and just a quick little chunk, save it, done, get back to it a couple nights later. It's perfect for that.
Yeah, it's in that way, it's... And it's constructed much like the Indiana Jones films as a kind of serial. They're definite act.
Yeah, and there's even like little chapter titles that come up, like chapter 6. Yep. This thing is going on. And there's kind of just a natural transition. And at that point, it's like, oh, all right, I guess I'll turn it off here and pick this up next time. You know, it's perfect.
Not to step on the news later. Mm. I don't believe I saw this in the news, but since we're talking about Uncharted, if you are an owner of the Uncharted Nathan drink, I need a drink.
There's a Nathan drink?
Nathan drink, which is the Leisure Suit Larry version. No, if you are a proud owner of the Nathan Drake collection, you can get in on the Uncharted 4 beta.
Starting, the multiplayer beta, yes, right?
Yeah, multiplayer. Yeah. And it should be, by the time this drops, it should be live.
What's the multiplayer in those games like?
Playing cards. Playing Canasta.
It's one of those
Baccarat
in-game versions of poker that they make up to put in the game. Like, what's the one in Witcher? Isn't there
Gwent?
Gwent. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, I haven't played a bunch of the Uncharted multiplayer, but it's the same guys that did the Last of Us multiplayer, which I heard was quite good.
Dynamite, yeah. I've heard several people have told me that is like the best multiplayer they've ever played, and I own it. I just need to get to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably jump in just to see what it's like. Like, if it is just a bunch of, you know, running around shooting each other with controls that aren't as great as an FPS, then who cares? But my guess is it's going to be a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
Oh, god damn, I can't wait to see Uncharted 4 on a next-gen system. Are you kidding me? That's going to look so pretty.
The last thing I played is Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, which is a fucking adorable little two-player game that you can play by yourself.
Yeah, and it's got a rockin' soundtrack.
Jesus Christ, it's like just some great chill-ass techno music playing the whole time that you're playing this game, and it's got super bright colors. Like, they should ship it with a hit of acid or some ecstasy or something.
Here I was about to say you should really check out the Scott Manley video where he plays it with his daughter. Maybe they both did acid before.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super cool. So you're just flying. So the general premise of the game is that you're in like a universe that is filled with love, and all of a sudden anti-love starts to leak into the universe, and you need to fly a spaceship to rescue little bunnies that will repair the anti-love rifts and bring love back to the universe. That's pretty much it. Simple.
Yeah.
I mean, super simple.
Absolutely, but I played this as well, and man, it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
The sound is great. The gameplay is very simple, but surprisingly not complicated, but intricate enough to not feel like a game for babies who need their bottle. You know, like...
People who don't like Squad?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Babies.
But, it's really charming and fun, and I only play a little bit of it, but that's a game, you know, speaking of that random 30 minutes... Like, oh man, I could go for a little Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, which, by the way, is maybe the best game title ever.
It's fucking great, yeah. But, so I mean, it's real simple, because there's a big ship in the middle of the screen, and on the like compass directions, north, south, west, east, you've got a cannon, and in order to use that cannon, you are a little guy inside of this big circle, and you have to run and climb up a ladder and go down a little corridor and mount, like, get on the chair for that cannon from inside the ship, and then you can shoot, and it's got like a stick shooter feel to it, where you just kind of point, you know, your thumb stick up or down, and you just shoot little laser beams, and then you can run up to the top gun, and wherever enemies are coming from, you can shoot them. Then there is a shield mechanic where you have to run across the ship, get into the little shield chair, and then you can move the shield around the outside of the ship and block incoming fire or keep you from bumping into things. You're kind of flying through like tight corridors and shit the whole time. Then there's a drive component of it right in the middle of the ship. You get in that chair, and it functions the same way as a shield. You move like an engine cone around the outside of the circle and then hit the button, and it pushes you along. And then there's some really cool, I don't know if you got to these, but there's really cool like weapon modifiers that you start to unlock as you get further into it. You, as you complete levels, like a little present will appear on your ship, and you can run down and pick it up, and inside of it is a gem that you can apply to one of the guns, and it maybe turns it, instead of just being like a little, you know, laser beam shooter, it turns it into like this beam ray that fires, you know, like a continuous laser beam out. There's one that fires almost like kind of a mace projectile that's attached to like a chain. But the really cool thing of this is the second player stuff. So you can play it co-op. I think it only has couch co-op, which is kind of unfortunate. I wish it had online. But if you're just playing it single player, you can control the second player yourself just by...
Which mine was a cat.
Yeah, mine was a dog, actually. And it was wearing a space helmet, which is awesome. But you hold down, if you're playing with a controller, you hold down the Y button, and then you flick the thumbstick in the direction of the module that you want your second player to go man. And they have really good artificial intelligence routine that, I think anyway, that does a great job of like doing what I would do if I was on that gun. The only thing they cannot man is the engine. So generally the way I was playing it was I would man the engine and then send player two over to like the gun in the direction that I was moving. So they're kind of like a forward gun. And then you get into these cool situations where it kind of behooves you to send the dog to the shield. And then you run over and do a gun and the dog can kind of block it. Cause it's, I almost felt like the AI was better at running the shield than I was.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah, and it's really cool. I mean, you kind of have to see it in action to really get it. I definitely want to do a video for that one because it's, you know, it's just so damn pretty. But it plays really well. It's really smooth. The music just makes it super fun, bright. It's, like, very original. You know, there's a lot of, you know, components of other games kind of in it. But I think the aspect of, yeah, this is a two-player game. You could totally do that. But I actually really enjoy the one player aspect of it because it kind of adds, like I think you were saying, Bo, that adds like that layer of complexity on top of what would just kind of be like a normal shooter otherwise. So instead of just, all right, well, I'm piloting. Okay, well, now I got to run over to this gun and shoot for a while. You can like send him to do something. And so you're kind of thinking, you know, keeping track of two characters at once. It's really kind of a cool mechanic.
Yeah, I agree.
And I liked it.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool game, and you're right. We need to do a video of that for this side, because it is a game that's hard to describe until you kind of get your hands on it, or at least see it in action, because you do have these, like, multiple things all happening at once. And the fact that it's just couch co-op makes sense in terms of the timing required for all that, but
yeah,
it
like
is
if
a
there's
bummer.
Any lag, it might get pretty irritating, so I can see why they went that way, but man, I hope they add that. And I mean, you're going to get people who are going to argue, now that kind of ruins the... I don't think playing games online with my friends while talking to them on a headset ruins like what I got out of couch co-op experience. Like, sure, it's nice to have your buddies over and like sit on the couch and drink beers and play games and stuff, but you know, can't always do that. It's nice to be able to play games like that online, so I wish that it had that. That's kind of my only gripe about it.
Yeah, but it's...
Maybe we can cool share game. Play it somehow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, figure that out.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's a really cool game. It's another one of those, kind of just pick it up, and like if I don't feel like staying up too late on a work night, I'll just play that for an hour and then go to bed or something. It's good.
Anything else from you?
That is... it for me.
All right. Well, play a little more Rise of the Tomb Raider. I'm closing in on the finale of that game. Everything is pointing at the fact that I'm pretty much at the last stage of that game. And still really, really like it. I think that's a great game. So, by the next recording, I would be really, really stunned if that game was not completed and I had a review up on the site.
How far are you into that, do you think?
Hour-wise, you mean?
Yeah.
Probably 15-ish hours.
Okay.
So I don't think that it's an overly long game, although there's plenty I could go back and do and probably will, where the game time is probably going to be more like 30-ish hours, 40 maybe. Okay. Of just going back and doing all the collectibles and stuff, but the game really does reward you.
How open is like the open worldness of it?
At first, not very, but you reach kind of this hub at a certain point where you're in a village, and you have a lot of options. It you know, it's not an open world game in the same way that Fallout 3 or something, or Fallout 4 or 3 or 1. It's more like, instead of just pushing you constantly through the narrative of the game, the way that the first one did, there are definite moments where it's like, hey, if you want to take a breather here, and here are some side missions, you can double back and go do some of the other, tombs. If you want to kind of trek back through some of the other areas, if you want to do some hunting and crafting here, like, that's up to you. But if you want to progress the story, here's where you go do that. And yeah, I mean, it's not, I don't want anyone to get the impression, there was a lot of talk of it being open world, or open worldy. I don't want to give the impression that it's open world in the same way that like a GTA game or something is. It just gives you moments in the game where you can kind of step back and do some stuff that maybe you didn't have time to do, or felt like you were being pushed, you know, through the story to get to this point. But now you can go back and kind of battle a little cleanup on some of the areas and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely lots of opportunity. And even, I mean, you can really do that at any point. As, you know, as long as you find your campfire, your fast travel location, you can jump back to any of those areas at any time and abandon the story for a minute and just do that other stuff. And there have certainly been play sessions where that's what I do for a couple hours. It's just,
and you could kind of do that in the reboot. Like, there were, you know, like that forest area where you could do some hunting. But, I mean, there was a finite amount of that.
Yeah, and this one, I mean, there's still a finite amount of it. You can reach a point where you've collected all the documents and you've hunted all the exotic animals and discovered all the caves and the tombs. But there's also all of that stuff in this area. So, you know, it doesn't feel, it even though you can eventually run out of stuff to do in an area, there's still so much to do that by the time you do all that stuff, then I think you'd be done with it anyway.
And yeah, I kind of like the sense of completion from the reboot. I mean, there was, you know, that really awesome area where there was like all those shipwrecks crashed up on the beach and you kind of had to move along the shoreline and get through some rocks and shit. I like it. It's like, some games don't do this right, but the first Tomb Raider did it really well, where you're on an island and there are a bunch of dudes there, and like, you killed all the guys in this part of the island and they're all fucking dead now, so that's why there's nobody here. Like, it makes sense. And you can still run around it because there is that stuff to do, but it was like, yeah, I rolled in here, killed all these fucking guys, and now I'm cleaning house. You know, it had a nice progression to it, so.
Yeah, and I got to admit, I haven't just stopped and smelled the roses too much in this game because I'm into the story enough. That aside from, you know, taking those random couple hours here or there to just like hunt for the tombs and try to pick up all the collectibles in an area, which again, I find real satisfying. Maybe not all the relics are prize winners, but all the documents kind of tell their own stories. And like, all through the game, like, you know, you pick up documents in one area and then later you find a document from the same character, and you see the progression of their story and start to get a sense of the world being very, you know, it's a cliche, but it feels very lived in and that there's a story going on outside of the one being told with Lara Croft.
Yeah. I really like it. As there would be in any real life, you know, location.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, oh man, I really, damn, that game is so much fun. You know, even
I can't wait.
Like the tombs are not terribly challenging, I would say, but they're just enough of a challenge to make you pause for a second and think about how to do something. And, you know, there was one point where I ended up having to look up a solution online because I was like, I feel like I'm doing this right. Yeah. And I kind of was. I just wasn't close enough to a tether or something. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I've only done that one time now. And most of them are fairly simple sorts of affairs, but at the very least, they're fun. You know, yeah. And that's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking to get a real noodle scratcher out of this. I really just want to have a good time going through this really cool looking environment. And that's the other thing is all the tombs feel unique and like it, they're not just the same tile set used over and over again or anything. It's like, oh, this area, it was a cistern and this area was a tomb, like a real honest to goodness tomb. And then yeah. Here's just this ship that happened to get shipwrecked and is now protruding from the rock and stuff. It's just cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing with the first one too. It was just like, man, this shit just looks awesome. Like the environments were just so cool and like fucking Hollywood movie looking. I don't know. I mean, that shipwreck in the reboot, the whole shoreline along there was just like, yeah, this is just like the coolest looking fucking pirate scene I've ever seen, you know?
Let me tell you a little story about upgrading your skills so that you can place bombs on people you've killed. So that...
Go on.
So, much like... I think the first game did this too. You know, there are bottles and stuff laying all over the place, and you can turn those into Molotov cocktails or yeah. kind of homemade grenades, essentially. Or you can just toss them to draw attention away from you or towards something. So here's my move, guys. Is I like to sneak up behind somebody and then murder them. All quiet-like.
Yeah.
And then you plant a charge on the body and then get on top of like a shack or a tree limb or something just so you have a good view of it. And you toss a bottle
yeah.
right over there by the body that you've just booby-trapped. And some guys in the area are like, hey, I heard something break. Oh, man, this dude's dead. We better check him out. And then there's an explosion. And you
hey,
get,
I found a dead.
And you get a shit ton of experience for using a body as a weapon. And,
that's fucking great.
God, I love that game so much. It's so good. It's so good. It's so fun. Like, it's, you know, the story's real hammy, but I feel like it should be. For a game yeah. like this, and you know, I think all the voice work is really good. Oh, it's I just really like that game.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game hitting PC so you guys can play it and join in yeah. my celebration of the fact that Tomb Raider was a really good game, and somehow they made this one even better than that was.
Nice.
So yeah, it's so good.
I hope it's a good port.
Yeah,
the previous one was, so, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like, yeah, if PC ports have just been so notoriously bad lately, it's yeah. hard to believe that this one's going to be just rock solid. But yeah. maybe the fact that, you know, it's Microsoft, they know they're putting it out on Windows 10.
There seems to have been a couple examples lately, though, of, I don't remember if I had this in news or not, but of... PC games kind of, it's been both ways, I think, because like Mad Max, a game which I really, really like on PC, has, you know, some problems on PlayStation specifically, I think I heard. But then, what was the other one? It just recently came out. Oh, actually, the brand new one, Just Cause 3. Yeah, yeah, apparently does not run well on console, but the PC version is just fucking sweet. So, who knows?
Why would you not play that game on a PC?
I know. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be... that makes sense to me, though, because that whole yeah. game is about destructible environments physics. And that yeah. kind of thing. Yeah. So, why would you not play it on a PC given the opportunity? It is a bummer, though, that, like, maybe it's just a question of scalability or something, that maybe you have to crank it down a little bit for the consoles. But, man, it is.
I mean, you can't, like, that's the cardinal sin. You can't have frame rate issues on a console. You just can't do that. If you need to turn down the graphic fidelity, you have to, because you just, there's nothing you can do about it as a consumer on a console. Like, if your computer is playing a game slow, you can probably tweak it and, you know, like, I wish they would put graphical options on consoles.
Yeah,
but that would almost be admitting that this platform cannot do this game. Yeah.
Well, and also from a publisher point of view, like, we're putting out a game that we're telling you, you should probably crank some of these settings down because it ain't going to run the way we sold it to you.
Yeah.
And
you just can't do that.
Right.
And so, and therein lies the problem with consoles. Just the non-upgradability of them is, there's always going to be that issue. There's no way to not have that problem. I mean, games are constantly going to push the boundaries of what computers are capable of, that's one of the reasons I like video games so much, is because they drive the technology, you know, along with just, you know, many other, like, scientific applications, math heavy applications. But gaming, it just is this really cool, unique way to push computer and technology development. So,
all right, well, nobody trip over John's soapbox.
I'm not wrong.
This guy loves video games.
Good.
Video games are why we are here, man.
Professor Nerdlinger here.
Video games are an inherent good, but don't deny it.
Yeah. You're not getting an argument. Wish you weren't so patronizing. So on Black Friday, rather than go out shopping, I played a bunch of video games and streamed some of them.
There you go.
And started off with a little trip to Pandora. Did a little Borderlands 2 for the PS4 from the Handsome Jack collection. And that's never a bad way to spend a little time. So played some of that and Borderlands 2. I don't know that graphically it looks a whole lot better than it does on, like, the PC version or something. But you know, that's still a super fun game. I really, really like that game.
Yeah.
Got into some Tales from the Borderlands while I was in a Borderlands kind of mood.
I watched a bit of you playing Borderlands, but then I had to tune out when you did that. I really wanted to see that, but that did not happen.
Okay, so I had previously discussed that game and the fact that it didn't create a save for me correctly. And then when I died, I ended up having to start all over. And that you know, I knew I was going to be doing some streaming, so I thought, this is a perfect time to kind of go back through that beginning and make sure that I can get a save out of this game, which I did, and pushed, much further than I had, probably about halfway through the first episode, I suppose. Hit certainly what felt like a natural break point in that game. And, man, I really like that game.
Nice.
Like, it's very Telltale, but there's also, strangely, some shooting mechanics in it, which is unusual.
How do they do that?
Yeah.
I mean, just like a shooter, it's, hey, you're going to use the left stick to aim, and in the portion of the game I played, you are taking over basically a remote control of a loader bot. And you see, through the computer screen what the loader bot is seeing, and you're just left stick to aim, right trigger to fire. But once you do that, it kind of pushes into a cinematic of you, firing off your weapon and stuff. But there is some really, really funny dialogue. One of the, I'm probably going to go ahead and spoil this just because it's so early in the first chapter of this game. But the character of Shade from the DLC for Borderlands 2, the pirate one.
Mm.
The guy who's in the town and has all these puppets rigged up that are just made of dead people. He reappears and is very funny. It's a really good game. Like, I'm excited about playing through that whole series. Because I hear nothing but good things about it. And now that I've gotten a little bit further along in that, I'm like, you know what? I get it. I think I understand what people were talking about. and it's very funny. It's well written, and you know, it's Telltale, so you kind of know what you're getting into. They do mix it up a little bit with the gameplay, as I mentioned, with, you know, a kind of slight shooting mechanics with it. So yeah, I mean, it feels like a really good, well done one of those.
Nice.
So if you like the Telltale stuff, which I do, I'm kind of an adventure game kind of guy. And that is, that seems to be a real good one. So I'm looking forward to pushing forward, there. Did play a little Lovers and Dangerous Space Time as well. What else did I play? The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing.
I watched some of that on the stream. That was cool. That was not what I expected. It was, a little more well done than I thought it would be.
Just as a footnote to our Xbox One listener, I don't know who that might be, but there's got to be one.
Somebody
out there. That is the free game the first part of December for the Xbox One. Is a console version of that.
I mean, it looks like a really good like Diablo clone.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. There are definitely some elements that are unlike a Diablo, but it, you know, there are a few things that differentiate it for sure. But it is a straight-up Diablo clone as well. But yeah, it's kind of interesting and fun. And, you know, it's not as good as Diablo for sure, but it is good enough that when I'm playing it, I'm not constantly thinking, like, I should be playing Diablo instead of this.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then played some Dying Light and got through the front end of that. So I'm looking forward to playing some of the co-op. All right, let's break it down, gentlemen. Let me tell you about my new love.
I thought you were going to beatbox.
No, I might, but it would be totally wrong, for what I'm about to discuss. I don't know if you guys know this about me. I love the show Firefly.
Oh yes.
The show is, amazing in my estimation. Maybe my favorite show of all time, partly because it was cut down in its prime, brutally murdered by stupid network executives. But that's
live fast and die young.
Well, and I love the juxtaposition of a Western in outer space. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a great idea. So I fire up Rebel Galaxy. Little game called Rebel Galaxy.
Mm.
And the first thing I hear is the sounds of bluesy sliding guitar and spaceships careening through the galaxy. And I was like, wait a second. This seems like something I might enjoy.
Nice.
And sure enough, Rebel Galaxy, I've only played a teeny tiny bit of it. I just got it today. It was on sale at Good Old Games, GOG, for those in the know, for $14. Nice. Regularly 20, so, you know, it's about a third off, and I'd set up a Cheap Shark alert. By the way, Cheap Shark, check it out.
That's a fucking great website.
Yeah, so basically you can go to Cheap Shark, which is just a website that aggregates all the video game sales across multiple sites. And you can put in the name of a game and tell it to email you when that game goes on sale. And that's what happened. They got an email from the good folks at Cheap Shark. Hey, Rebel Galaxy is on sale. Picked it up. Only played through like the beginning tutorial stuff to kind of, but all right. So let me tell you,
you can set a price point on Cheap Shark, right? Like you can say, tell me when it's under $15.
Maybe that's not what I'm talking about right now. let's move on.
But you were talking about it.
Because I'm getting excited about this. We're going to probably end this show right now, so I can go play more Rebel Galaxy.
Brought to you by CheapShark.com.
Oh, if only.
Seriously, send us money. We'll send this podcast to him and see if he wants to send us some Cheap Shark money.
Yeah. It's a great service, though. And that, like, I need to set up Hard West is another game I really want to get my hands on. Anyway, so... the setting is you're out in space. You get a message from your aunt who says, hey, there's some shit popping off and I'm giving you this old ship of mine, this old busted, and I need you to come find me and go to this space station. So you fly your ship. It's how to describe this. It is a 2D space game. I mean, you can go left and right, and you can go faster or slower, and you can move the camera. The right stick will pan the camera around your spaceship, but you don't travel up and down.
So you're like traveling in a 2D plane in a 3D environment?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it which removes
the... I feel like I've played a game like that before, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head, because I was trying to think of an analog to this, and I don't know that I have one. But yeah. It's almost like you're playing the pirate combat from Assassin's Creed 4. Or not 4, Black Flag. Was that 4?
Black Flag, yeah, Black Flag.
Okay, so imagine the ship combat from Black Flag, only it's a spaceship and way sweeter. And because you have the option of, once you go into combat, the whole idea is that you're constantly trying to move your ship or position your ship so that you can attack broadside. And by swinging the camera around left and right, you can choose which side of the ship you're attacking from. With me so far?
Yes.
Okay. So then if the ships that you're trying to murder are not like big capital ships where you don't need to fire your big broadside cannons, you hit up on the D-pad. This is all gamepad, and they recommend you use a gamepad. You hit up on the D-pad, which switches you to your turrets so that you can now target less in a less 2D way ships that are kind of buzzing around your big ship. And then you murder them. And then you go to the next mission, and they tell you, hey, go here and do that again. Except, you know, that like, I'm too early to tell you if there's any repetition or if there's too much repetition. But right now the story is, like, you show up at a space station, and there's a dude waiting there that's like, hey, you need to go do some tutorial stuff. That's not what he says, but that's what he means. And in the meantime, I'm not going to tell you where to find your aunt until you go do this tutorial stuff. And then you get done with that. And he's like, okay, now I'm going to go tell you where your aunt is. Actually, I don't really know where she is, but I know a guy who knows where she is. So you need to go to this other space station. So that's where I am in the story, which is super early on. But as you're doing that, guys, as you're fighting these, you know, these capital ships and sucking stuff in with your tractor beam using an A prompt and jumping into hyperspace, which is just pressing and holding down on A. Like, the control scheme is super simple, but it all makes sense, you know, and it's kind of contextual. Like, the A button is kind of your primary action button. Like, if you're close enough to a space station, you press and hold A to dock. If you're out and about in space and there is a salvageable item, you press and hold A to suck it in with your tractor beam. While all this is going on, that sweet bluesy guitar is playing the whole time. And it like, playing that game, it's not quite Firefly the game, but it's pretty goddamn close. And it is close enough for, like, as I was playing it, I was like, oh no, this is going to be a time suck. Because even nice. The characters are like, you know, like you have some dialogue options. Like, you can dock at a space station and upgrade your ship and eventually buy bigger ships and upgrade them and get, like, different kinds of hulls and different kinds of deflector shields and different kinds of missile turrets and different kinds of, you know, machine gun turrets and laser cannons and all kinds of stuff. There's apparently an economy there because there are some trading options, but I haven't messed with that yet. But that seems to be like something that you can do.
This game looks beautiful. I'm looking at it on Steam.
And then, but there are also these character moments where you can go to the bar on the space station and talk to the bartender and be like, hey, what's going on? Are there bounties I can do? So there's some side mission stuff there as well.
How is that handled? Is that like a first person thing or?
No, it's not first person. It's almost like, not Star Citizen, Elite Dangerous, where you dock, and it's just a set of menus, but it, like, if I choose to go to the bar, I do see the character, and I have the dialogue options, much like a Mass Effect or something. I don't think it has that level of, like...
But you're not walking around in the space station.
No, it's just, I'm gonna hit A to select to go to the shipyard, and I can see all the ships that they have for sale at the station, or the loadout screen where I can buy new equipment and install it and remove other stuff. And like I said, the bar has some character interaction and dialogue options and that kind of thing. So, and you can kind of guide your way through the dialogue. And it gave me the option, I assume, to turn down some missions. I didn't do that because I was just, you know, early going. So I'm like, yeah, what do you got? But yeah, I think there's stuff that you can choose to do or not do, depending on how you want to play it. I feel like maybe I haven't seen enough of the commerce to know for sure, but it seems like that's something that you could probably while away some time doing. It's just, you know, much like Elite Dangerous, you know, buy some shit here, sell it for more over here kind of stuff.
Hauling beer cans.
Yeah. Yeah. And the music, I just can't say enough about how much I love the music in this. It gives it such a sense of atmosphere. Ironic, because it's a space game. But
that's a little judgmental.
That did. That was a little kind of a snarky laugh. Herbert's back. But
so just kind of looking at how the combat works in this, I used to love the old vector Star Trek game. Do you guys remember that? Yeah. Was it like the arcade game? And that was like a 2D plane.
I knew Star Trek was going to come back up. Yeah.
Yep. But it had that, you know, so like the top of that was just a top view map. And then you had a little window that provided, like, you know, even just like the original Elite Dangerous, just that wireframe view of space. But you could only ever navigate on a 2D plane. It's kind of got that real, and I love that fucking arcade game. I used to pump so many quarters into that.
Yeah, it's this, that kind of thing where, like, you're twisting the camera in the direction you wish to fire. You hold down the left trigger to charge up your cannons, your broadside cannons, and then using your left stick at that point to, or I'm sorry, you're using the right stick at that point to line up your shot, and then your right trigger fires. And so if you've got enemies on both sides of you, what you're doing is you're whipping over to port, say, and charging up your weapon, lining up your shot. The it shows you kind of the arc of the shot that you're about to make.
Now that's just like Black Flag.
Right, and then turns yellow when you've got the shot lined up correctly, and then you fire, and then, you know, if you got somebody on the other side, you whip over to starboard using the right stick to position the camera. And basically, wherever you're looking via the camera controls is where you're shooting. And then, like I said, you hit that D-pad up, and it switches to your turret. So if there are little, like, enemy fighters buzzing around you, that's the thing you hop to. And then it's almost like a Wing Commander reticle sort of thing. But the auto aiming and targeting on that seems super generous right now. like if you get in the general vicinity, it seems like it kind of locks on to those ships. And maybe that's okay. At first I was like, this seems kind of easy. But then part of me was like, how hard do I want this to be though? You know, like not just from a challenge point of view, but if you've got four or five or six of those things buzzing around and you're also manipulating the broadside controls, that seems like there's enough complexity there. Even if the individual combat isn't particularly difficult, you're managing, let me hop back to broadside, fire at this capital ship. Now let me jump back and get rid of a couple of these, you know, ships that are swarming around me, and then let's jump back to broadside. Like, I feel like that's where the intricacy of the combat lies and not the targeting, if that makes sense.
This game looks really cool.
It is real cool.
Do you fly the same ship the whole time, or do you upgrade, or you swapping out ships, or?
Well, I assume that you're flying other ships, because the one base that I've been to so far immediately was like, hey, here's a shipyard, and here okay. are these bigger ships you can buy when you earn enough money.
This is also kind of got like a Mech Warrior vibe to it, where you jet around to different stations and planets and then pick up missions and
sure.
outfit yourself at station with whatever funds you've got. This looks really interesting.
Yeah. We'll do a look at that, because if for no other reason, I may just not even play the game. We're just going to fly around and you're going to listen to the sweet guitar that's playing in this game. And they're actually, like, there are recorded songs. I don't know if they were recorded for the game specifically or they're just licensed songs. But, yeah, I mean, it's full-on music. It's not just, you know, here's some bluesy Americana slide guitar.
Huh.
There's actual songs. And there was one point where, as I got into combat, the music sort of ramped up, but it's still the same kind of music. Oh.
Nice.
Guys.
13.39 on GOG during their winter sale right now.
Yeah.
Does this come with a Steam key?
It is not a Steam key, but...
Did you just install it in GOG Galaxy?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I haven't been back in that recently. Is that still looking pretty good?
Yeah. It looks fine. You know, I mean, it. The thing I like about it, and because my Steam library is just so out of control at this point, my GOG library is much more in control, and it also only shows me, by the view I've got set right now, the stuff I've got installed.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, right. So it's just like, hey, you've got Rebel Galaxy and Neverwinter Nights and something else installed, and you want to play one of these?
Nice.
So, yeah. Guys, I really like Rebel Galaxy.
30-day money-back guarantee. Like, you can't go wrong.
I cannot tell you. Like, even if it were $20 and I waited until it was cheaper, but now that I've tasted just a little, gotten on the tip of my tongue, a little sugar right on the tip of my tongue.
A little Rebel Galaxy sugar.
A little Rebel Galaxy, just a little taste. Now that I've had that.
This is good shit. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah. I'm just rubbing my teeth with my finger, like, yeah, guys. Yeah.
That's good.
Just have a little bit, just a little taste of Rebel Galaxy. Yeah.
There's your commercial for it right there. Hey, you guys want to, hey, you want to play some Rebel Galaxy, man? It's good. Come here.
If I had paid $20 for it in retrospect, I almost feel bad for not having bought it at full price. Because nice. Even the little bit I've played just hit me so dead center. Like, this is what you like. Do you like space? Yes. Do you like sweet, slow-moving steel guitar? Uh-huh. Do you like kind of a folksy feel, but it's space? Yeah.
I
totally like all that stuff. Well, Rebel Galaxy got it all, baby. Come on in. Set a spell. Yeah. No, this
Barry,
thing is...
Barry White comes in. Yeah, baby.
Oh, man. The only way this game could be better is if Billy Dee were narrating it, but not about the game itself, but just to me, like, oh, Bo. Come on in.
I hope Rebel you got Galaxy. Some Colt 45 in the house. This is about to get real shitty,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, man. Yeah. And, like, I played it not probably 15 minutes before we recorded. So, you know, and I
so we're keeping you is what you're saying.
Well, I played it long enough that I was like, I need to turn this off right now or this is going to be a problem. You guys are going to be like messaging me like, hey, it's time we recorded the show as we all agreed we were going to. And I would be like, I don't fuck you guys. This is,
I'm sick. I can't.
I'm in the black, baby. Tell them I ain't coming back. You can't take the skies from me. It is. It like I said, it's got that Firefly feel just enough. And the music is so much a part of that. But yeah. It's also the dialogue. The dialogue's real kind of folksy as well. But it's got just enough of that to make me think, like, you know what? I know they've been talking about doing a Firefly MMO forever now, and somebody's supposed to be working on that. But maybe I don't need that anymore.
Nice.
Maybe this is what I wanted. Yeah, just simple enough to love and just complicated enough to still feel like I'm, you know, being challenged by the game, even though it's only the tutorial stuff. But yeah, I really, really like it.
90% positive rating on Steam.
Too low. Too low. That's not right.
There's only. It just 100. Came out. Yeah. 100%.
I give that a 100%. We'll see. We'll see. I need to play some more of it and see where this thing goes. But right now, like, just the first impression I got from this game was so good that I can't wait to dive into it a little bit more, see what this game has to offer me.
Nice.
See if it can keep it up. You know what I'm saying? Is it a show
boner.
Or a grower?
Boner. It's nice to get a game boner once in a while.
Yeah. It felt good. Felt really good. I feel like this game is going to give it to me all over my face, neck, and chest.
All right.
Let's reel it in.
I knew it would go there if I just kept talking about it.
I'm so predictable. I hate myself. All right, well, let's talk about some news. There is news of the video games, and I rely on one person to bring it to me, as Jesus. Should you, the listeners. Yes, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Games.
News me. Amen.
Yeah. Dear Jesus Games, please make all my controllers have non-sticky keys.
Please make them all sync properly with my wireless dongle on my PC.
So
please shut down Uplay.
Dear Jesus Games, please make Uplay and Origin go away.
Just something. I don't even know. I don't want to go down that road. That'll take an hour.
We've already done our Comcast rant. Next.
Can't do both in one show. I think that'll create like a disappointment singularity or something.
The event horizon is just the tears of a child.
Good.
All right, so hit me.
News. Being a VR guy, I put these first couple on the list here for you, Bo. Samsung's Consumer Gear VI is now available for $99.
Yeah, you have to have one of the Samsung phones, though, and that's way more expensive than $99. Yeah.
Yes, so if you are the owner of a Samsung Galaxy Note 5, Galaxy S6, Galaxy S6 Edge, or a Galaxy S6 Edge Plus, nice. I see there's a naming convention they're going with there. You can plug this thing into it and do some virtual reality shit. I don't really know exactly what a lot of that is, but I do know, a second news story, is that the virtual reality shooter called Gunjack, which is, also believe, by CCP, the ones who, what's the one for the Oculus that was pretty good, Valkyrie?
Yeah.
Valkyrie.
So Gunjack, I think we talked about it on a previous podcast, but it's like kind of a 3D Galaga where you're sitting in a gunner pod on some big capital ship and other little ships are just coming at you and you're blasting the living shit out of them in VR, which it looks really cool. But that is available for this thing. So if you want like a cheap entry point to try some VR and you've already got one of those phones, this seems like kind of a cool thing. I don't know how well it works. I don't know much about it, but
I've heard good things about the Gear VR.
Yeah.
I've heard that that's, you know, I mean,
You're depending on your phone to be the computing device for this thing, so.
Yeah, I'm sure graphically it's probably not much to write home about.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, those screens are real nice.
Yeah.
So even if you're doing kind of blocky looking, you know, vectorish graphics or something, then that would still be real cool. Like if you haven't tried virtual reality,
To
our listeners, yeah, you need to dip your toes into them warm, cool
VR ponds, natural springs of VR.
Yeah, take yourself a hot bath in virtual reality, and
it's like you and a bunch of like snow monkeys in a pool with steam rising off of it, filled with hot VR.
There's nothing you said there that sounds bad to me. Sounds fantastic.
Making sure I understand how VR works.
Yeah, it's
snow
like
monkeys
taking
heat.
Yeah, it's like taking a hot bath with snow monkeys.
That's a back of the box eyes. Quote right there. Put that on the box.
Right. You want to push
it's
some
like
units.
Taking a hot bath with snow monkeys, man.
Yeah, yeah. You want to get this thing off the ground, right? Come here to the Shawcast for all your advertising needs.
Let's see. There is a SOCOM mod for Insurgency.
One of my faves.
Yes, this is a game that Justin plays, and we talked about this briefly over email, that we need to give this a try. I used to play lots and lots of SOCOM 2, specifically, on PS2. And it was the first game that I think did online multiplayer correctly. It was really, really fun. And apparently there's, like, for everything that I've read about this so far, is people are just saying, yeah, it just kind of has the fun feel that the original SOCOM did. So I definitely need to check this out.
I need to check out Insurgency. It sounds
actually. I need to do that as well. But just, like, this mod, like, got me interested in that exact thing. Like, man, check out, you can do this in Insurgency, and this must be pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, what's the going rate on Insurgency, Justin?
You know what, Bo? I might have an extra copy.
I do like some SOCOM. I enjoyed SOCOM 2 quite a bit.
There's deals going down on the Shotcast.
Yeah, keep your boots wet and your powder dry.
$14.99.
Oh, okay.
Well worth it.
All right.
Or what you do is you just ask your friend John if he might happen to have two copies of Insurgency.
Do you have two copies of Insurgency?
I do. I don't know why either.
All right. Do you have two extra ones or just...
Two extra copies of Insurgency. I don't know how the fuck that happened.
All right. All right, well...
Maybe I bought it three times on sale. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. I bet there was a four-pack and I just grabbed it because it was like I knew this moment would come.
Right. You are the Nostradamus of gaming. Someday someone will need to play Insurgency. Because of a SOCOM 2 mod. It was that detailed. This ain't no try again later bullshit. This is...
I can see through time.
Yeah, all right.
It hurts. All right. It hurts. Let me just make sure I've got it installed, and, you know, one of those can be yours. Yep, there it is.
All right.
We'll make that happen.
Excellent.
Moving along, yes. Yeah, so we will report back about that. Now that we've given the cliffhanger, you'll have to tune in. Will John give Bo a copy of Insurgency? Will he make him jump through some ridiculous, demeaning hoops to get it?
One can only hope. I don't, you know, I've said before, I don't have any shame left. I don't know. I don't know how demeaning anything can be at this point.
Hot bath with steam monkeys? Yeah, I'll do it for Insurgency.
Right. I would do that for nothing.
Yeah.
You kidding me? I recently watched that Disney's Monkey Kingdom movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, it's a documentary that Tina Fey narrates. It's like, you know, Disney Nature is the studio. Oh, nice. So it's like it was geared for an audience much younger than myself.
Like in the vein of March of the Penguins or something like that?
Yeah, except not even as mature as that.
Okay.
You know, because they know that mostly kids are going to be watching it and monkey lovers such as myself.
Careful with that term.
I won't deny it. I love monkeys. And this is, what are they, macaque, something like that, monkeys, and it's a story of a lowly female monkey.
Sorry, what about your cock?
It's monkey-like and prehensile.
Okay, all right.
And
you can't just throw out macaque.
Something like that.
Expect me to sit here, you can't.
It's that kind of monkey, whatever it is.
Okay.
And so it's all about a female monkey that is real low on the caste system that these monkeys have.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah, no, they really shit on this monkey a lot. It's kind of funny. And, like, this monkey is definitely not getting picked first in gym. And because monkeys have gym, we all know that. But the movie is the story of her kind of rise to power, like bucking the odds, so to speak, and becoming you know, like a well-respected monkey within the family of monkeys. It's much like The Godfather in that sense.
Kind of like a Cinderella story?
Oh, nice.
Except there are no shoes because they're monkeys and they would just poop on them. But there is one great scene. There are plenty of great scenes, actually. But there's one incredible scene where the monkeys are forced from their home by a rival group of monkeys. So they have to take to the city that is nearby. They're looking for a new place to live.
This movie sounds awesome.
It is. I mean, and you can watch it with your son because it's really geared for younger viewers. You know, it's a little, the narration is like, look at this monkey. It's doing crazy stuff. But like you scratch the surface a little bit and you're like, oh, there's like some real monkey business going down. And I don't mean good times. I mean monkey business. And so they're forced out of the kind of fortress that they have, this big rock that they all live on. And they have to go to a nearby city. And there is a scene, I shit you not, where these monkeys make a break into a school, like a schoolhouse, when all the kids are at recess. And there's a girl who's apparently having a birthday or something. And these monkeys bust in and start spilling shit and eating cake, big handfuls of cake from that this girl was supposed to eat. And monkeys got that cake.
You should be able to, like, that should be a birthday party you can choose to have. Did you call the monkey guy? Right.
I'm really glad you're coming to Janie's party. It's going to be a good time. You're going to be able to tell it's our house because we've got balloons tied to the mailbox. Quick word of warning, we're having a monkey party. So as soon as you open the door, you are in a fight for survival. These monkeys are batshit. Not to mix my animal metaphors, but these monkeys are coming after you.
That sounds awesome.
You and the monkeys are both fighting for the same bowl of jelly beans. And let me tell you, they do not stand on civility. They are going to get those jelly beans however they goddamn can. But yeah, it's a great movie. I highly recommend it. If you have kids, it's a perfect excuse to watch it. But as an adult watching it, I was still delighted by the monkey behavior exhibited in this film.
Okay, I wrote it down. I'm going to have to get some monkeys.
Yeah, Disney's Monkey Kingdom. One of the many great films brought to you by the Shodcast.
Monkey movie of the week.
The Shodcast Monkey movie of the week. Disney's Monkey Kingdom. Next week, Planet of the Apes.
Then Congo.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What? The big problem with Congo, since we're on the subject.
Oh, no. This is going to take forever.
Is that at the end of that movie, for no good reason, a bunch of the, like, you know, white apes just do cannonballs into lava. What the hell is that about?
It's much excited, man.
Yeah. Can't make no sense of it.
You get a bunch of snow monkeys excited enough, they will jump into some lava.
Oh my God.
That's a big disappointment to me in that movie. I was on the side of the monkeys in that film. I didn't think anybody...
I was too. I wanted them to kill whoever wrote that movie.
Oh man, Laura Linney was in that. Can you believe that? Anyway.
What are you going to do?
I don't... Watch more monkey movies. They can't all be gems. Not every movie is going to have, you know, monkeys making a break for it with their jowls stuffed with birthday cake. Because that's what happens in this one.
I read there was a report that PlayStation 4, segue.
Speaking of monkeys.
The monkeys, I went through too much fun talking about it. I almost don't want to talk about the news.
The monkey cast will be next on the plate.
Apparently, PlayStation 4s have an 8-core processor, and Sony has officially said, yeah, you can use number 7 now. So they unlocked one of the cores to allow, which was previously dedicated to running the OS on the system, is now available to developers to use for their games. So kind of technically upgrading the system with hardware that was already on it, which is kind of something that consoles do, I guess. they learn how to use what's available to them better, and they improve that way since it's a locked system. Xbox One did this exact same thing. How long ago? January? So I guess you could say Xbox is winning that contest.
But apparently you know others.
Yeah. They got one thing, I guess. So,
I got Rise of the Tomb Raider. That's a real good
Yeah, thing. There you go. Well, you know, it's because they got that 7th core. You know?
Yeah. I think that's like
that's why you can't get Rise of the Tomb Raider on PlayStation 4 until next year, because, you know.
No,
they were down, core. They were down a core.
Yeah. They were down, not only down a core, they were almost coreless.
At their core
of it. God, this is stupid. All right, what's the next news? Getting real bad.
They've also announced that there is a PS4 to PC streaming solution coming. There's not a whole lot of details on it, other than they're saying, yeah, you'll be able to play your PS4 from your PC. This seems to be a thing that everybody is kind of experimenting with, I guess.
I mean, I guess if you have, like, a horrible PC or, like, a laptop...
Yeah.
Well, I've actually got a use case for this because my Xbox is upstairs, and sometimes I play some video games downstairs. And I've tried the Xbox One streaming.
Yeah.
But it's wireless, which...
That is the problem with all these streaming solutions. Like, I talked about it previously, I have the Steam Link. And by all reports, I have yet to try it out yet, but by all reports, it works just fine if you have a wired connection. Like, if you've got Ethernet going from the computer to the Steam Link in the other room, it works just great. But I've tried it on wireless, and it's laggy as shit. So it sounds like none of these work very well over wireless. So.
You either need to be wired or have a really nice wireless.
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah, I even thought about maybe putting, I don't know, like doing an access point or something, but I don't know. It just
like a repeater or a booster or something. Just to, yeah, I mean, but at that point, just get the 100-foot long cable and just run it down the hallway when you want to do that.
I think that's what I'm going to end up doing. I've been seriously considering like either a Steam Link or an NVIDIA Shield potentially. For the upstairs. But if I do that, I think I'm just going to run a wire, like, literally up the wall.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Because why not?
At a certain point, it's like, it may not look great, but at least it's going to work.
It's easy, and it's, like, especially if you live in an apartment, and you can't, like, put something behind the wall, if you... do the job right and put up some sort of like nice clips that you can kind of tuck it away with, and you make it in such a way that if you do want to take it down real quick, you can just kind of, you know, grab it, undo the little clips, walk down the hall, take the fucking thing down, and it doesn't look quite so trashy. Like, everybody should own a 100-foot long Cat 5e cable, because it's just like a useful thing to have from time to time. So I don't know. I don't think it bothers the wife. There's a big long fucking cable running down the hallway for an entire weekend, but it's not like it's there all the time.
Yeah. It is really... Yeah. Like, I like the fact that, you know, Xbox and PS4 are presenting this as an option, because I do see... I see use cases for it. Like, especially if you could stream it to, say, your laptop. But again, if it's going to suck over wireless...
But eventually it's going to work. Like, this is kind of the beginnings of this, is how I'm looking at it. So, they will improve this technology. Wireless technology will eventually get to the point where it can handle this kind of, you know, data streaming. And
you know what?
It'll work, you know?
What I heard actually works pretty well is that portable NVIDIA Shield. The one that's got, like, the controller and the screen built into it, the 7-inch screen. I heard that that worked all right.
Hmm. Yeah, but
they're not on sale anymore. Because, in theory, they're coming out with the second generation of it, and at that point, that might get my money.
I mean, especially if you're already running an NVIDIA card in your PC, it seems like that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We already talked about Just Cause 3 being a little sketchy on launch. I've heard some mixed reviews on that. I'm interested to try it, but it's kind of dropped down my list a little bit.
I think
just based on initial reviews,
it seems like it's the same review that every Just Cause game gets. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, it's great. You can blow everything up. If you want to have a cathartic experience and just kill things for a while, it's great. Don't expect too much from the story.
Yeah. Yeah. You want a nice physics game? Sounds like it's a pretty good one of those, but it sounds like PC is probably the place to do it at this point. But
I think I'm going to pick that up on a Steam sale, just like I did Just Cause 2.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems real cool. I want to kind of tinker with it. It seems like a fun sandbox, but there's just too much other good stuff I want to play.
Yeah.
For, you know, shelling out $60 for something that's just like, hey, I'm going to tether this dude to a helicopter and fly him around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's fun, and I want to do that, but not for $60, I don't think.
It seems like a really well-polished Gary's Mod kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure it's really good. I just, you know, my desire to play it has, that between that and Battlefront, like, there were two games I was hoping for more from that seem like they kind of don't have it. I don't know. This is kind of stupid. Some guy took a Steam controller and strapped it to his forehead and turned the motion controls for it on full time and basically just made a like a head. What's the system that you have, Justin?
Track IR.
Yeah, the Track IR. Like, he just made a poor man's Track IR with this thing.
Which I watched the video of him doing it, and I was like, you can literally buy like a super poor man's Track IR for like $30.
I know. The fact that this guy just like fastened a controller to his head.
But I mean, it's cool because, you know, people are, I mean, I don't want to say people are coming up with interesting ways to use the Steam controller, because I don't know, but it'd be cool to see some people, like, rip it apart and use some of the guts for, you know, like, build them into a headset and maybe make a gaming headset that has all that stuff built into it.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. It was interesting. It was like a, you know, I don't think people have figured out what the Steam controller can do yet.
Yes.
So I'm still anything. Waiting for that to happen. Yeah, I'm waiting for that to happen. So, didn't you say, Justin, you had a friend that was using it for Fallout?
Yeah, my friend Paul.
Hmm. Is he still using it? Still like it?
Yeah, he still likes it. I think Steam Controller is a great experiment.
Yeah, that's kind of my, and I've got one sitting right here in front of me, and that's kind of how I feel about it. So, it's interesting.
Listening to you too.
I wish I had more time to fuck around with it. Yeah. I don't know what date the Game Awards 2015 is, but apparently Oculus has some big announcement. Have either of you heard anything more day, right? About that? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it has to be.
Yeah, it's got to be.
So, the day that I will be signing over my paycheck to them and just give me whatever
Are you going to try to get a set of the hand controllers for it?
Oh, sure. That looks real cool. Yeah.
If you're gonna get into VR, you've got to get into VR.
As a wise man once said, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Be a grizzly. Nice.
My buddy Sean, the same, or a different friend, he bought one of those treadmill type things. And he just got an email that they're like mass production is in full swing. He's been waiting like almost 2 years now for this thing, and so he's the one who has all of the Oculus Rifts that have existed to this date.
Well, there's only two, right? DK1, DK2.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you find people who either have a DK1 or they have a DK2. I think it's pretty uncommon for someone to have bought both of them. Mm. Unless they're just like him.
Those treadmill things look really interesting. I really, really hope that works, because if they can do that right, like that's, and bring the price down to something reasonable, that's like something I would seriously consider.
It sounds like it won't be fun sitting down, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
I was like, think of all of the running that you've done in video games.
Yeah. And think of, I'll weigh like $1.50, man. That'd be great.
So many people who do like marathons after that becomes a thing. You're like, oh, how are you training? Skyrim.
Yeah.
No. Call of Duty, motherfucker.
You know, DayZ.
You know when they say, like, you see the...
Oh, God, DayZ.
You see that mountain? You can go there. I fucking did.
I did. I went there, man.
What about the... We'll have the first virtual marathon.
Yeah, there you go.
That is just stupid enough to be a thing that happens.
Yep. Grand Theft Auto 5. First person run around the whole... Like, they have like a foot race mechanism already in there, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I cannot wait to see how all this VR stuff shakes out, because I know I'm going to have a bunch of that bullshit laying around. I'm going to have whatever, you know, the Oculus puts out, the PlayStation version of that, whatever Steam puts out. Probably I'm going to have three of these things laying around. But I still can't wait. I'm excited to spend that money, because having spent, you know, a fair amount of time with the DK2, I can only imagine how much better the actual release is going to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I put it in. Oh, I did. We'll transition to this one. Some developer who's working on the Microsoft HoloLens uploaded a video of him streaming Halo 5 from his Xbox One to his HoloLens. And so he's like looking at the TV, and then he looks away from the TV, and through his HoloLens, he has a virtual TV hanging on the wall behind him in which he is playing Halo 5. And then at one point he like moves, I think he moves his hand. I can't tell if he's using his finger or not, or some kind of in-game cursor, but he like picks up this virtual TV and moves it down his hallway a little bit, and then keeps playing the game. So like you could throw on your HoloLens and be playing, just have like a virtual TV anywhere as big as you want it in your house. It's kind of a cool application.
That's the thing I like about the sort of more augmented reality, virtual reality stuff, where like,
yeah,
oh, I have a blank wall, now that's a TV.
That's a giant TV, and all I got to do is put this headset on. Yeah. I mean, if that shit works right, I mean, all these videos look super cool. So,
yeah. I'm real curious. I don't, you know, I need one of you knuckleheads to get one so I can get my hands on it and play around with it, because I'm going to be just so all up into the actual VR headsets. I can't.
It's this really interesting alternative to VR that no one else is working on. That's kind of what's really interesting about it, because it looks like shit is got some serious potential, but no one else has jumped on this bandwagon at all.
Well, before Steam went with a headset, there was a woman working at Valve who, it was kind of the same concept, but you had like these, like this sort of like material you would put down. So you would put like a square on your wall, and you'd put this headset on, and now that square can be anything.
Huh.
But then they saw the Rift, and they're like, "You're out of here." And then I think she tried to do a Kickstarter to get it going again.
Yeah, I kind of remember hearing something about this. I didn't know what the hell that was about. I didn't realize she was doing like an augmented thing.
Where it's like you could sort of like build a, you know, say like a cockpit for a space sim. You could have like different panels and kind of just place these sort of rectangular, I feel like I had like a QR code or some weird kind of thing on there that made it where you could actually, that surface now was usable for the game.
Hmm. That's kind of a cool idea. Like, you could look at your desk and have, like, you could play a game like Elite Dangerous, but have, like, the cockpit controls in augmented reality, like, in front of you on the desk, and you could interact with them somehow. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that shakes out. It's every time they show some new application of it, I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, I kind of get this. So, along those lines, you can go to... Microsoft has a website where you can go tell them, hey, I've got a great idea for something you could do with the HoloLens, and they will take that idea.
Oh, and good. Make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you can do with that HoloLens, Microsoft.
Porn.
Yeah. Oh, I got all kinds of good ideas.
Be a part of the first community-sourced HoloLens experience. We can't wait to see what you imagine. And we can
advertise. We're out of ideas. We got nothing. We got a HoloLens and nothing else.
Yeah, so there's like the three most viable ideas as reviewed by our development team will be put up for a final vote on Twitter. The winning idea will be created by our experienced HoloLens development team of designers, artists, and developers. You'll be a part of weekly build reviews, Q&A sessions, and more, which is a link, the words and more.
Yeah.
Pick a front row seat to see how it comes to life. And I don't know what happens if you click on and more.
Yeah. Larry, what do we got?
It takes you to a survey.
Number one is dick butts. Number two is butt dicks.
We got a pallet of animal crackers that you could have.
Number three is just boobies. So those are the top three suggestions so far.
We went to Costco and we bought a huge box of socks. That's what you get.
I
don't know why I'm being so hard on Microsoft. This just sounds like might want to flesh out your idea collection thing. Like, make it some sort of sweepstakes with like a prize, maybe.
Or yeah, like if you come up with the, you know, one of the top three or five ideas or whatever, we're gonna give you a HoloLens. Well as the application that you've come up with, as opposed to, you tell us what to do with this thing, because we don't know.
Yeah. it's like a continuation of kind of that tone deafness that Microsoft has had with the Xbox One. Like, it's...
Maybe just, that's the actual reason that they're doing this, is they were like, look, the last time we came up with our own ideas,
you guys
flipped the fuck out. So you tell us now. You tell us what you
want. Tell us what you want. Tell us what you want.
Why won't you just love us again? Do you remember the 360? Remember how great that was? Please love us.
In terrorists are ruining your world news, sensitive data compromise in a massive company hack on VTech. And if you are a parent or you've ever spent any time in a Toys R Us store, you've probably seen VTech computers, toys, like it's this whole line of children's electronics. But apparently somebody hacked into their fucking, what was it? This hacker sent a motherboard containing a bunch of sensitive data that he had gotten from the VTech databases that contained 5 million parents and 200,000 children's like names, birthdays, genders, home addresses, email addresses, passwords. Yikes.
Well, maybe he just wanted it so he can send everyone a nice birthday card.
Well, yeah, like, he sent it to the developers, which like was super nice. Like, he said, hey, look, your system's super fucking vulnerable. Look what I got out of it. So, like, I guess it could have been way worse, but, you know, you don't know what else he might have done with this information. So, I haven't found a whole lot on this story, but it sounded like, man, I wonder how long until this fucking ends up on CNN for, like, 2 weeks straight.
Are you interested in VTech astronomy?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's just one of those, like, some of these hacks are just, there's almost a point where there's no longer a way to defend against this type of information getting stolen. So, like, I'm wondering if the only way to kind of stop this kind of stuff is to just make that kind of information not as valuable somehow. Like, I mean, home addresses and shit like that, like, it's hard to imagine, like, you could just, oh, fuck it, yeah, they got my home address. That doesn't matter because... Like, I don't know what the answer is to that, but there's, like...
Moats and drawbridges.
Like, that one in particular I have a hard time with, but I'm thinking, like, okay, social security numbers, like, Target gets hacked or some, you know, thing gets hacked and your social security number gets compromised. Well, that's going to continue to happen, so do you solve that problem by making social security numbers not that important for some reason anymore?
Because biometrics, just, baby, you get a barcode tattoo, number of the beast.
Yeah, something. I don't know. That's what interested me most about this story. It's just like, god damn it. I mean, like, this shit is just going to keep fucking happening. So, what else? I mean, obviously, putting it on a computer in a database behind a bunch of firewalls that are passworded and all locked down with all sorts of security measures ain't cutting it. So, what else you got? So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the day that I have a replicant I can just send out in my stead, and I'll just stay home and protect all my things.
Isn't this a Bruce Willis movie?
Surrogates. Yeah, what was that called? Yeah. Surrogates.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's, yeah.
I don't remember if it was weeks ago or maybe about a month ago, somebody was pouring through, here's your Metal Gear Solid 5 moment. Pouring through all the data files on Metal Gear Solid 5, and they found a cutscene that, like, congratulates you for ridding the world of nuclear weapons, and people were trying to figure out what exactly this was for. And Konami basically admitted, finally, that, yes, this is part of an in-game mechanic that goes with the forward operating bases part of it, which is kind of the invade other players game section of Metal Gear Solid 5. One of the things you can craft in that, when you get high enough experiences, you can craft nuclear weapons to defend your base from other players coming in. And so this cutscene about nuclear disarmament exists in the game because if everybody on a platform in a certain region of the world, so for example, if everybody who's playing Metal Gear Solid 5 on Xbox One in North America, or I think maybe the United States, I don't remember what the regions were specifically, but if all of those people all get rid of the nuclear weapons that they have crafted in the game, then the game rewards all of those people in the region with this film saying, yes, we've ridded the world of nuclear weapons.
Never happen. Never happen.
So that's what I thought until I listened to the Bombcast, and they actually had the numbers on this. And apparently in the United States, there and on Xbox, which is, has the lowest install base for Metal Gear Solid 5, there are currently only like 79 nukes left, which came down from like 365 at one point. So it seems plausible because apparently it's really fucking hard to get a nuke in the game.
Right, but you know there's always going to be that one asshole.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, but like it seems like... But so that's what's interesting about it is people, because it's in this forward operating base mechanic, you can invade someone else's base and take their nuke and dismantle it.
Can you take it and then use it?
You can do that also.
All right, well, yes. Again, the world is full of people like me that are, like, no matter what message board or call to arms comes out where it's like, look, guys, everybody just lay off the nukes for like a weekend, and then we're going to all see this cutscene, and then we can go back to building nuclear weapons again. But it's never going to happen. It never going to happen.
You know the solution to that.
Nuke them.
You can just watch the cutscene on YouTube.
That's true. Yeah.
Right, right. It's out there now. Like, the thing that you're working so hard to do, you can do right now.
Yeah, I did it. I watched it.
I didn't watch it because you guys are not going to get me to watch any Metal Gear Solid 5. No,
what I like about it is that, like, obviously the conversation we're having about this had to have happened in a boardroom somewhere when somebody brought up this idea.
If that were true, though, they would do the, like, the Mr. Sardonicus thing. Allow me to explain. So when William Castle released Mr. Sardonicus, the gimmick of the movie was that you got a vote, a little card, where you could vote for the fate of Mr. Sardonicus, who's the villain of the movie. So at the end of the movie, in theory, the audience votes whether they want to see Mr. Sardonicus punished or if they want to show him mercy. The trick was they never filmed the merciful ending to Mr. Sardonicus, because William Castle was a wise enough man to know, like, no one is ever going to ask for that. Yeah. And in much the same way, they were fools to ever shoot the cutscene. They should have never spent the money on it.
But that's what he does, Kojima, man. I mean, that just like, this is the most Kojima-ass Kojima thing I think I've ever heard of.
Grant, yes, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's, let's put this thing in the game that is virtually impossible to achieve, but let's put it in. Okay. We'll do it, boss.
All right. No one will ever see this unless they hack it out of the disc. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Where's my cowboy hat?
I mean, regardless of how stupid or implausible its completion ever is, I like the fact that it exists still. I can't help but like it. Like, that's a fucking man with a dream.
it's a twisted fever dream, but yes, you're right.
Yeah. Apparently no one ever says no to that guy.
Until Konami
fired his ass. All right. This nuke thing is fucking stupid. You're fired.
I wonder if that was the straw that broke the camel's back, where he was like, I'm going to spend like $3 million just getting this cutscene crafted. And they were like, what? No one's ever going to see it.
Needs to be in the game, man.
Yeah, it's just part of my message about nuclear disarmament and the like, all of those games, from my understanding, are really just thinly veiled pleas for world peace.
Yeah.
And that ain't ever going to happen.
They're all about nuclear proliferation and the military-industrial complex.
Yeah. See, that sounds and dumb.
But yet, at its core, it is a murder simulator, so it's... Yeah. Fighting for peace. It's like fucking for virginity.
Right. It's my favorite charity.
I donate a lot of work with
teen moms, you know? Just get them their start. I can't remember where I stole that line from, but I like it. Steve Martin. It was an old Steve Martin line. That's what it was.
Broforce, which we haven't talked about for a while, and sadly I haven't played for a while, has added a couple of new bros. Raiden from the Mortal Kombat series has become Broden, and they've added the Brolander.
I've seen some of the animation of the Brolander stuff. That seems real funny.
I haven't seen it yet. I forgot to watch the video. We need to play that game again.
Yeah. I mean, there's never a bad time to play Broforce.
Yeah, I mean, and since it's kind of gone full release, I've read in a couple of places that some of the lagginess that we'd experienced has been sorted, so we should give that another go. Because I sit in front of a computer all day, fucking around with database spreadsheets, I thought this was interesting. Some guy made an X-cock.
Freudian.
Some guy made an XCOM game in Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, I did see that. That's the kind of stupid I can really get behind.
It's like, that sounds like what I wish I could be doing in Excel at work.
Yeah, I mean, that is... the subtitle to this story is... Man has too much time on hands at work, is made redundant.
Yes. What is his quote? Reddit user Cruzy.
I have too much time on my hands.
Yeah.
I am now fired. My boss has
created a...
I appreciate everyone's attention on this, but now I don't have a job because my boss caught wind of this.
Yeah, pack up your shit.
Ted.
He's created a fully functioning XCOM tribute inside Excel. It's his own little project to help him learn Visual Basic. His quote is, I just learned VBA, Visual Basic, for my job and wanted to get familiar with it. Because I love XCOM, I decided to make my project to code a complete XCOM game in Excel. That's crazy. Because coding in Excel is a fucking nightmare. I don't know.
I have Visual Basic skills, but nowhere to use them.
Yeah, it's like, man, apparently I'm just scraping the surface of Microsoft Excel.
Well, it's like a bunch of knuckleheads put together that ASCII version of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but completely unwatchable for any length of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, that's neat that you did this, but, you know, to quote Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park, you spend so much time wondering whether you could, you never ask yourself if you should.
Yeah. Yeah. So along those lines, let me scroll down here. This is like the exact same genre of news story. Some dude posted a video of himself playing Minecraft, and in his Minecraft game has a working smartphone in the game that can, like, place video calls.
Mm-hmm.
It has a web browser on it. I mean, it's straight up a working smartphone. And in this video, he says, yeah, Verizon helped me figure out how to do this about 50 times. So the only thing I can think of is that Verizon, some genius at Verizon said, hey, I have a great idea for the best fucking commercial we could ever make for Verizon. Let's just build one of our phones in fucking Minecraft and put it on YouTube.
Now, see, when you first sent this article over, I was like, oh no, is Minecraft for Windows, like, combining with Skype? And now, like, you know, you're going to have a phone, but it's, like, connected to your Skype account in Minecraft.
Like, so you can Skype people into your Minecraft game?
Yeah, like, are they really like, going full tilt on Minecraft, and you're just going to ruin it with, like, all this other random stuff?
Well, who knows? But is it something that uses the elements within the game? Like, could I do that? Well, not me. I'm stupid. But could somebody who understood these things... Could.
Yeah, and that's what's weird about it, is it's not, like, it's the, so the phone in the game is built out of, you know, Minecraft blocks, as anything in that game is, and then it's got, like, cell towers that you have to build in the game, and they use redstone, but, I mean, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes magic going on, like, they've obviously had to create some blocks that are, like, programmed things within the game, and when you assemble them in the game, they all just work. Like, when this guy spawned the phone, he, like, clicked a button and the phone just appeared. Like, he didn't build the phone. So it's essentially like a plug-in for Minecraft that puts a working phone in the game. And because, you know, he keeps crediting Verizon with helping him build this thing, it's like, alright, well, someone in the marketing department got all their programmers together and said, hey, you guys want to make a fucking Minecraft mod?
And they said, no, and they're like, you work for us. Okay.
Said, well, you guys can play Minecraft all day while you're doing it to test it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We'll do it. So it's interesting. Like, not as cool as, you know, some of the contraptions that people have actually built using, you know, in Minecraft tools where, you know, they build, like, working calculators and shit like that. But just, it's like a really weird thing. Like, it's the first time some, you know, pre-built object, like, I mean, this is just a working video phone. Like, the guy calls somebody from Minecraft with this phone, and you can see the guy's face in the game on the face of the phone. Like, it's a pixelated, you know, color-changing blocks on the surface of this phone. And then the guy he's talking to holds his phone up to his, like, the camera that he's got in front of him, or points the camera at the video screen, and you can see the guy's Minecraft character. So he's literally placing a video call from within the Minecraft game. It's really weird. I don't know. Interesting. Like, kind of brain melting in a way.
I mean, it's really cool, but it also, there's something about it that feels kind of disingenuous too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all those other people really, like, built working things, and you've kind of built something. It seems like they've built something outside and then put it in the game, so it's kind of cheating. I don't know. But, I mean, it's just, to me, it just so obviously is some great marketing stunt. But, you know, it worked. I'm talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like I said, undoubtedly cool, but yeah. If, you know, if my buddy's kids can't do it, then I don't think it's a real Minecraft thing.
No. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Do you guys ever play Plague Incorporated?
Yes.
So there is a new multiplayer aspect to that where you both play at the same time and your two pandemics compete to wipe out the planet.
Who is the more virulent and deadly...
Yeah, who can craft the better virus, who can wipe out more of the planet. So it's like a risk with viruses instead of war machine, yeah. Basically.
Fungus was always hard. Fungus is a hard one to manipulate in terms of a killer. And also, waterborne is way tougher than airborne.
Yes, waterborne's a pain in the ass in that game. Yeah. So I always, almost every game I play, I always name my virus or whatever Bonitis. Because it's called Bonitis.
I always use rocket pneumonia. but not the boogie woogie flu, because that is
Dick Clark's rocket pneumonia.
Dick Clark's rocket pneumonia Eve. My favorite thing to do in that game, though, was to do the like the time bomb virus, where you make it like super virulent, so that everyone has it, and then you flip the switch on it being deadly.
Yeah, just like, oh, it's just, everybody seems to have this cold that's going around, and now it kills you.
Right, and now it makes you, like, shit out your intestines.
I know. You always just go for, like, the, if it wasn't already contagious enough, now turn on the thing that is not only deadly, but violently contagious, like, just yeah. massive diarrhea with, like, pustules and
yeah.
coughing. And
yeah, if you get within 30 yards of anyone that's got this thing, you've got it too.
Your organs will liquefy in 24
yes.
hours.
that game is really satisfying in a very dark way.
It is. The Elite Dangerous closed beta has begun for their Horizons module, which is the planetary landings thing. The more I see about Elite Dangerous lately, it's kind of the more disappointed I am in how totally shallow it still is.
There was a... I can't remember where this is from, but someone had a good article about they need to stop adding more...
Yeah.
More things... Well, I don't know how to say
like,
this.
Not exactly modules, but just like... There's plenty of stuff to do in that game, but none of it feels meaningful.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The universe is huge, and they need to fill it out with something else, you know? I think, like, the thing that I found that I didn't like about it was how you got missions, and how you, you know, go to a station and just read through some menus, and, like, this is supposed to be, like, this crazy space game, and I can't even, like, leave my ship.
Yeah, I mean, so, and that's, I think, the criticism with, well, you're adding planets that you can drive around on now, so now you've got space stations that you can't do anything in, and these planets, by all intents and purposes, like, there's not much to do on them either. So this time would have been maybe better spent making it so that you can get out of your ship once you dock, walk around the space station, you know, interact with, you know, some sort of vendors, maybe have... I don't know if they're ever going to go with any sort of a first-person shooter aspect in this game, but that seems to be the direction, you know, Star Citizen's going. But, like, something multiplayer, multiple people in a single ship. You can fly your ship around, you can get into combat, but make it so that I can have, you know, turrets on my ship, and my friends can multiplayer in and do the, like, concentrate on that instead of adding some other... thing, you know.
What they really need to do is combine Plague Inc. and Elite Dangerous, where you go to a planet filled with a native peoples, but you want that planet. So you engineer a virus, fungus, what have you, bacterium, to decimate the population so you can plant your flag on it without a bunch of natives getting all chatty about your invasion. Now that's a game I'll play.
Yes. Yeah, I like the planetary landings aspect. Like, eventually that you should have that in your game, because that sounds really cool. And once you add that, like, you shouldn't make it available until there's, okay, I can fly down, I can get out, I can drive a car around now. But what am I doing here? Can I mine the surface? Is there, like, caves to explore? Is there shit to shoot? I mean, is there...
And, like, at what point did someone say, what I really want to do in Elite Dangerous is I want to fly down to a planet and I want to ride around in a go-kart?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the dream, of course, which can never happen, unless No Man's Sky somehow pulls it off, is yeah. I'm gonna fly to this particular star system, find a planet, land on it, get out, walk around, see what's there that one assumes is different from every other planet that you land on, or different enough to make it interesting. Yeah. And then once I've explored that planet and garnered something from that experience, then I jump back in my ship and fly away, and it's all totally seamless.
Yeah.
But
how do I find that planet and there's something useful there, and I set up a fucking outpost and defend the shit out of it because that is my resource and you cannot fucking have it.
Outpost starring Sean Connery. Yes.
Yes. That's a great... that is an underrated sci-fi film. It's long and it's kind of boring, but
it's
underrated.
It's okay.
It's underrated.
It's got goddamn Peter Boyle in it.
If you happen to have Origin installed on your computer, you can get Jade Empire for free, which is a pretty decent BioWare RPG.
I saw that. I almost recommended that on the Facebook page today, and then I realized that I'm kind of recommending people download Origin. And I had to pull back on the stick on that one. I was like, whoa, Bo.
Yeah, so
this ain't a Monkey Kingdom, something you can just unreservedly recommend.
As I said in my email, I had the exact same reservation. It was like, yeah, I totally want to get that, so I'll have to install Origin, and then I can download it. And then because I'm probably not going to play it right now, I'll just uninstall Origin again. But I'll have it. Yeah. So anyway, but that was all. I liked that one. I never finished that one, but that was right around the era of Knights of the Old Republic. It has a lot of the same style or trappings of that game, but it's not samurai, but it's...
Yeah, it's very Japanese-influenced. I've actually got a copy for the Xbox laying around. Nice. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good free pickup if you just want something nostalgia-esque to play.
And especially if you can get it for the PC, because there's probably some enterprising young nerd out there that, and I say that with all due respect, that has done a graphical mod to make that look prettier than it ever did.
Yeah.
I can't confirm that, but knowing nerds, and I feel like I do, one of them has done that.
Unless you guys have something else, I'm going to jump to my favorite news story for the last one here.
Peggy, deserve no pleasure.
Peggy, the rating system, I forget what PEGI stands for. The
Peggy 18.
The Penis Envy Guild of Indonesia, I guess.
I was going to go Iceland, but all right.
All right.
Has listed, this is the ratings board for video games that says, yeah, this is for 18 and older, 13 and under, whatever. They have a listing for Shadow Complex Remastered for the PC. This was one of my fucking favorite games on the Xbox 360.
It's a good game.
I have been asking for exactly this for some time. I really hope they don't fuck it up somehow.
Surely they won't.
I just want to play some... this is one of those things where I'm just like... I always kind of feel stupid about these kind of things when I get excited, because I could play this game right now because I can just turn on my Xbox 360. But they put Remastered in the title.
Yeah.
Which makes me go, what are they going to do? Are they going to make it look really sweet?
But it already
looked really sweet, I know. So, I don't know why I'm excited. I'm excited. That's all. Super awesome game. Yeah. If anybody's never played it, it's a Metroid style. You can't go through this door until you've got this particular thing that you got to go to this part of the map to get, and then you got to come back, and then you can open this door, and then you unlock new shit. It's one of those games, but it's a really, really good one of those. And I'm super excited for that.
Pan-European gaming information. Peggy.
Hmm. Nothing about penis envy?
No.
Parents enjoying
glorious intercourse.
As they should.
You have made every child uncomfortable, no matter what age they are.
Everybody, picture your parents having sex. You're welcome.
Did you? I heard my parents having sex one time.
I walked in on mine once.
Yeah,
it was horrifying.
Yeah. All right. So here's why I think I got the shorter end of the stick. No pun intended. Is that at least your parents were suddenly aware that they needed to stop the behavior they were engaging in? My parents knew no such thing. And I heard a little bit of the pillow talk. It is the most, haunting thing to this day.
Can't bleach that out of your brain.
No, and I've tried with
alcohol, drugs. Yeah. Tried slamming my head into the floor.
Lucid dreaming, whatever, like, you know, Carlos Castaneda-esque journey I could go on to purge it from my memory, but no, no, no. Not bad after 7 years, still frozen right up here in this noggin. There's anything more horrifying than hearing your father say that. I don't know what it is. I know.
I want to go on, but I shouldn't.
Oh, it was awful. You know, man. And honestly, to this day, I've told that story to plenty of people, but of course never mention it to either parent.
They don't listen to the Shotcast.
Well, you know, one of them can't.
There you go.
Yeah. And then the other one, I mean, like, God, how could she look me in the eye and vice versa? Once I was like, yeah, on your 7th wedding anniversary, I heard your anniversary sex, and it was terrifying. It was the worst thing I'd ever heard, and to this day remains so. And this is someone who was, like, awake and watching television when they said, yes, the second tower is coming down. That was better than...
You need some snow monkeys.
Oh, man.
Snow monkey that shit right out of your brain.
That's honestly, that's the one thing I haven't tried yet. It's just a constant supply of snow monkeys.
What are you doing with these things? Not your fucking business, that's what.
I'm trying to forget the most horrifying thing I ever heard.
I'm trying to forget. What are you doing with these monkeys? I'm trying to forget.
These are monkeys of forgetfulness.
And that's a statement that just, like, no further questioning is needed. Okay, this guy's got something.
I need these monkeys just to get me back to normal. All right. Well, how do you feel about some listener questions?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here they come.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Joseph Petruzziello, once again, asking us some questions. Thank you, sir. That we're not going to answer, by the way. His questions are, what was your favorite game this year? Least favorite, biggest fuck up. I'll tell you what, we'll do biggest fuck up. Just to give you a little taste. But I think we all know.
Yeah.
But favorite game and least favorite, listen to the next episode in a couple of weeks, and we're gonna spend a lot of time talking about what we really liked playing this year and what our favorites were. The biggest fuck up, I mean, Arkham Knight for the PC, right?
I mean it's kind of the hands down winner. Yeah. It just seems like nothing else. I mean, the game doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, it still doesn't work after.
Like, and yeah, I mean, we talked about it previously. Regardless of how much of that game you have played, you can play it to completion. They will still give you a refund if you want it.
Yeah,
that's how fucking bad that game is. Or that's how bad it works, I guess we should say. By all intensive purposes, it's a really fun game on console.
So. Yeah, I wish we had a more surprising answer for you, but I feel like if you've listened to the show, which I know you have, and thank you very much, by the way. Uh-huh. I mean, it has consistently been just like amazingly disastrous.
Yeah.
You know, impressively fucked up. Yeah, it's sort of like in Anchorman where Baxter eats the cheese. You know, it's like, I'm not even angry.
Simply in awe.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, that you guys couldn't get this game right ever.
And couldn't just not release it when you knew that. I mean, because there was no way you didn't know that it was this fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a mistake front to back. It was a mistake because they released it. Warner Brothers released it when they knew it was broken. We had learned. It was so broken that they had to yank it from the market. Then they re-release it, and it's still broken. Like, that is just... Yeah. It is like the tiramisu of fucked up, of just layer upon layer of awfulness. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of, like, what the second biggest fuck up is, but that one just so takes the cake that I can't even think of a runner up.
Yeah, it just overshadows everything.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a fuck up, but I would argue the kind of controversy surrounding Konami and Kojima.
Yeah.
Of just all these differing opinions and are the stories coming out, these conflicting stories. You know, he's fired, he's not fired, he's on vacation, yeah. He's on permanent vacation. Like, Konami seemed to have mishandled that every step of the way as well.
I think, like, biggest fuck up is probably Silent Hills. Just not ever going to come out. There's so much hype behind that with, like, Norman Reedus and all the people involved in it, and then it's like, no, never mind.
Yeah, it actually seemed like it had a pretty decent head of steam going, and then it just, like, it canceled. Yeah, I mean, that's maybe biggest potential fuck-up, like, what could have been.
Right. The never was as opposed to has been, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that Arkham Knight thing, though. I mean, I don't know. As long as I've been following video games, even something like E.T. at least came out. I mean, it was a busted-ass game.
Yeah.
But
you could play it.
Yeah, you could play it, and the frame rate was the frame rate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a sad commentary.
Your game's worse than E.T.
Yeah. All right. But come back next episode for a lot of talk about best and worst of the year, because that will be a large portion of the show. Josh Plaxson, he asks us, what game would you most like to see get a sequel that currently has no plans for one?
This is a friend of mine that I work with.
John Madden. Manpobol.
Yeah, we need another one of those. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think of something that's not already... Well, I mean, the obvious answer to that question is Red Dead.
I feel like that's a cheat because even though...
Yeah, it's so obvious that is in development, yeah. Even though it has not been... Like, it only qualifies as an answer to this question because it has not been announced yet, but everybody fucking knows
that it is coming, yes.
Yeah.
So I don't think that counts as an answer. Keep trying.
Yeah. Like I said, it's the obvious answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one is fucking Half-Life 3, and that's the same problem. It's just like, ugh. That's such a non-answer to that question.
Yeah. I would...
DayZ 2.
If the sequel was as good as the mod, only with less hackers, I'm all for it.
I would just like 1.0 to come out, please.
Yeah.
There are some old PlayStation games that I used to play that Psygnosis. I don't know if you remember that developer.
Yeah.
There was Colony Wars, which is like a space simulator.
Yeah.
They made three of those, but I'd like to see another one of those. And they did a game called G-Police, which is like this sort of like dystopian future where people live in these domed, you know, cities, and you're this kind of like Apache helicopter hovering gunship, like rolling around, like taking down gangs and stuff like that. I think those games would be fun to play again. It's very, like, G-Police is very, like, Blade Runner-esque. Oh. I don't know. I know that they definitely will never make any more of those games, and I used to have so much fun playing Colony Wars.
Yeah, Colony Wars was... It was one of the few games that seemed to get, like, that kind of 3D flight right on those controllers. It was cool.
I played it to the point that the disc, like, stopped working. I can remember, like, going back years ago, finding my PlayStation and like getting like a CD cleaner kit and trying to fix the disc on it just so I could load it up and play it.
As opposed to just buying a new one.
Yeah. All those things I ever did was just scratch the shit out of the disc.
Yeah. Or just emulating. I guess I could emulate it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could play it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
you guys ever play, I'm outing myself as a huge fucking Tron nerd here, but did you ever play Tron 2.0?
No.
It was like a first-person Tron game that was on the original Xbox. And you can actually get it on Steam. It was actually good and kind of looked like the fucking movie Tron. And then they did one a while after that that was like Tron Evolution, and it was a huge fucking smelly piece of garbage.
Yeah, that was the one that kind of released with the movie, right?
Yeah, it was fucking worthless. It was just terrible. It was like the stereotypical, oh, this movie game sucks movie game. But Tron 2.0 was really cool. Like, they still haven't fucking made the game that makes you feel like you're in the movie Tron. Like, they just... Why hasn't that not happened yet, you know? And Tron 2.0 was, like, the closest thing that came to that.
We've played Discs of Tron.
Yeah, that's a really, really good game, but that's just Discs of Tron. I want the whole thing. I want, like, there's an anime-style cartoon that came out after the second Tron movie that came out a couple years ago. And it's called Tron Legacy, I think is what it's called. And
which was the same name as the movie, right?
Maybe it wasn't Legacy. Uprising? Maybe it was Tron Uprising, right. I think is what it's called. And really good. It's cool style. It's got some really good voice actors in it. Paul Rubens does one of the voices. Elijah Wood does the main character. And it was like a Disney XD film. And it was kind of this kind of gritty cyberpunk Tron-ass thing, and was really good, and had one really great season of it, and then they canceled it. And if they could just kind of turn maybe that world into some sort of a open world style game in the Tron universe, I think that would be super fucking fun. So basically what I'm asking for is a sequel to a game that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that doesn't answer the question. You have failed.
But Tron 2.0 was close. If you see it on like a cheap sale and they're selling it for like $2.99, it's totally worth picking up. It's a very interesting version of kind of what I'm looking for out of a Tron game.
Well, I'll answer the question for real. Red Dead Redemption. PGA Tour.
Yeah, like, but a good one, though.
Honestly, I would really like it. I mean, I'm sure they're working on one, so that... No, honestly, my answer, I think, would be Bully, I would like to see a sequel to. Yeah, I think that could be really fun. Which is another thing that, I mean, I don't know of any plans, and I don't think that it was popular enough to warrant it. So I feel like it falls within the scope of the question, but... yeah, that, I mean, Until Dawn, I know there's the VR thing, but, like, a real honest-to-goodness, like, them coming out and saying, like, hey, we're going to do another Until Dawn, only it's going to be different characters and different setting and all that stuff. I would totally be on board for that. Yeah. And I, you know...
Battlefront 2.
Right. But they've already said they're going to do another one.
That's called Squad. You mean Star Wars Battlefront?
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront.
Star Wars Battlefield. That would have been a better game.
Shieldfront.
But yeah. I mean, any of those, I would love to see a sequel to something kind of unusual, but the fact is, all the big games that I really liked, they're making sequels to because they were big games that everyone really liked, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I would really like it if they made a sequel to, like, Call of Duty.
I think maybe no one has picked up the Pitfall torch. just saying, FYI.
You know what they don't need to make another sequel to is Gauntlet. You've tried enough times and fucked up, so just stop.
Knock it off with the Gauntlet. I'll tell you what, Diablo 4 would do me just fine.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get another Half-Life game.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, Casey Bates asks us, if you were taken from your home and blasted into space a la Last Starfighter, which we mentioned earlier, what game are you most confident with that your skills could save humanity? And I feel like, in a weird way, Justin is at an unfair advantage because every game he plays is training him to be a hired assassin.
That's true. I'm basically Alex Rogan already.
Nice.
All right.
That's the teenager from The Last Starfighter. Bo.
You're talking about Lance Guest is who you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. I've seen The Last Starfighter. I've actually interviewed, the actress from Last Starfighter.
The girlfriend?
Yeah.
The Maggie character?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. There was an interview that I did on an old podcast I used to do called Matsukashi with her about The Last Starfighter. So,
wow. Do you got a copy of that? I would love to listen to that.
If you do a Google search for Matsukashi... I also talked to the writer of the movie House. That's a real fun interview. But so I got to talk to her and also one of the guys from the movie The Wraith.
Huh.
So, yeah, anyway.
If we're talking pure space, it's definitely Star Citizen is helping out a lot.
Sure.
If we're talking more like an alien situation, then Alien Isolation is probably helping out a good bit. Just hide. Get away.
Yeah.
Like derelict space station, and I gotta, you know, there's something coming after me. Yeah, that's helping out a lot. I don't know, though. I said Colony Wars. That was the game that made me like space games, really. So, like, I don't know.
I think Wing Commander 3.
Ooh.
I played enough of and got proficient enough with. That if I were ever face to face with, say, the Kilrathi, or perhaps Ginger Lynn, I would know how to handle myself in that situation. I might punch Biff Tannen right in the face, just like Commander. I don't know Shepard. I don't know what was Mark Hamill's name in that game.
God, I don't even remember.
I would know exactly how to use the Excalibur experimental spacecraft from the end of that game. Like, y'all, we can talk some Wing Commander 3. That is the game that, if we're talking, like, if you're thrust into the furthest reaches of the galaxy, what's going to help you out? It's race relations with other alien life forms. It's knowing how to sniff out a betrayal. Because, you know, if Malcolm McDowell shows up as your commander, he is up to no good, y'all.
I'm having a hard time thinking it. Like, I'm one of the promises of Star Citizen and Elite Dangerous was, oh, finally somebody's going to fucking make the space game that I've always wanted.
Yep.
I can.
And I'm still waiting for it. So, like, this question's hard to answer because I just... Like, maybe I don't feel like there's been that game where I got that yet.
I know.
I feel like I'm good at this now.
I can answer this question for you.
Okay.
The game is Minecraft.
Yeah.
And your ability to create a garden and thus sustainable food.
I'm the guy that's on the ship that has the garden pods attached to
right,
it.
Right, like in the black hole, you know, that ship.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
No, that's very good.
You're the guy who knows how to, you know, get all the horticulture.
I was going to say, even though it's not a space game, I was going to say the Fallout series because it has completely compromised my morals. And I feel in a situation where I am thrown into the fray, being able to, like, without even thinking about it, you know, completely dismember a body and then hide the parts might come in handy. You know, ship-to-ship combat.
Yeah,
you know.
See the previous episode in which Dolan details his run-in with drug dealers in Diamond City.
You guys take all these bodies that I just cut up and put them in the airlock. then hook this ship to our ship, and we're getting the fuck out of here.
And it's silent running, not black hole.
Well, Black Hole had the garden pod in it as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Silent Running was like all about a spaceship that was
absolutely. If you don't mind listening to Joan Baez for 2 hours, Silent Running's a great movie.
You are absolutely right, Justin, but I will always go with the movie that ends up with a spaceship in hell.
Yes.
And
a man absorbed by his guardian robot so that he can survive in hell.
Who's the creator, man? That movie is weird. That is a weird film.
That's a fucking Disney movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's right.
I saw that shit in the theater with my family.
Yeah, Maximilian.
Oh, my God.
And Slim Pickens as the voice of Bob, the stupidest robot in the galaxy.
That was some weird shit.
Yeah, it's a really weird, like, Dean Jones is in it, but there are people getting, like, you know,
chopped up by, like, fucking spinning blades, right. Yeah, it's...
Anthony Perkins creeps everyone out in that movie, as he does in every movie he was ever in.
Yeah.
If you've never seen The Black Hole, I'm not saying it's a good movie.
It's a must-see, though.
It's,
like,
yeah.
That is, like, a cultural touchstone of what the fuck.
That there was a point in the history of Disney films which would never... ever make a movie like this and put the Disney name on it now.
Not in a million years.
Yeah. Where they just, they were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna do this esoteric space drama where Ernest Borgnine is considered a serious contender for space travel.
Yeah. I don't know. Now I'm going to have to go watch that movie again.
I know.
God damn it.
It's been a while, and I think there's a Blu-ray available now, and I would kind of like to see that movie in Blu-ray, just because the colors were amazing in that movie.
Yeah. No, and it had, like, it came out around the same time as one of my all-time favorite movies, Flash Gordon, which had a similar palette, I think. Like, very bright, kind of over-the-top shit going on in it.
I gotta tell you, aside from that Queen soundtrack, I don't have a lot of time for Flash Gordon.
Oh, I don't know what you're
talking about. I'd rather watch Black Hole, because that... Like, Flash Gordon is campy. Black Hole is fucking weird.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're totally different movies.
Yeah.
No doubt. But
you know, you said it would never... A movie like that would never get made again, but as of 2013, they apparently were planning... Someone is attached to rewrite it as a remake.
Mm.
But it's not going to be as...
it's not going to be the way it was. Yeah.
Just weird. I would like to see what it would turn into.
It'll turn into some stupid interstellar thing. God, the end of that movie.
You hate it so much?
I hate it so much. That whole bit with Matthew McConaughey and the library or whatever. It's just the dumbest thing I've seen in a movie.
Come on, Murph.
Know how to end this story.
Right. Like, we got to the point. The stuff about, like, going to the different planets and all that stuff, and even...
that was great. Yeah. Very compelling. Cool.
Yeah. It was... That all that stuff was really fascinating, but, like, you can't end a movie about the like terror and joy and wonder of space exploration, where the theme of the movie turns out to be love is the most powerful thing in the universe.
I know. Because, like, that's stupid. What the end of that, this just turned into a science fiction movie podcast, but that's fine. What the end of that movie should have been was he's on that one planet in the movie where the gravity is such that time passes super quickly on the planet that he's on, and they're on down there for just a short amount of time, and by the time they get back off, decades have passed for everyone else who is not within the gravitational pull of that planet. And that was, like, hardcore shit. Like, that was actually some emotional, like, wow, that's really fucked up when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, space travel on that scale, you know, theory of relativity is fucked up. And what should have happened was they get to Matt Damon's planet and find out that that's all fucked up and they have no way to get back. And because of that, everybody on Earth is going to die. Credits.
Or just, like, you know what? They're done for. How about we get down to some fucking...
Yeah.
Like, we're...
And they had like the plan B where they had the DNA seed modules where they were going to seed some planet. Well, you know what? You guys have the rest of your lives to find a planet that's better than this one. Get to it. Because everyone on Earth is dead now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
No. Library.
And love is the answer.
Love. Love got me back. Love warped me through the solar system.
Yeah, right. You know what physics doesn't care about? Love.
Love. Like, not at all.
Yeah. Like, on an emotional level, like, my interactions with human beings, sure, plenty of love to spare.
Yep.
But if I'm in space, like, I don't want to hear the guy running the show of, like, we need to find another planet, giving me some spiel about how much we need to love one another. It's like, no, you need to find a place where we can breathe, motherfucker. You can.
I cannot eat love. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Love is all you need. The Beatles had that shit all wrong. You know what you need? You need food and shelter and water. That's what you need. Love is the frosting on the muffin.
I think it's the sprinkles on the frosting, man.
Sprinkles on the frosting on the muffin. All right. Well, that does it for questions. I feel like we've answered
questions in a roundabout sort of way.
If you would like to access a question, you can go to sdfgaming.com, and on the front page of the website, you will see links to our Twitter and Facebook and email and all kinds of stuff to get in touch with us and let us know what you have on your mind and what you might like us to answer, because let's face it, these questions are just the springboard for us to talk about monkeys in Disney movies. But we appreciate very much you axing them to us.
We wouldn't have gotten to talk about Black Hole if it hadn't been for that.
Exactly yeah. Right. So thank you, Casey Bates, for leading us to the point where we could describe in bitter detail how bad the ending of Interstellar is. It's right up there with the end of Jurassic World, where the dinosaurs have a little chit-chat about how they're going to team up and kill the bad dinosaur.
It's all connected, man. Oh, it's
so stupid, too. Movies are stupid. I don't know why anyone watches them.
Should just play video games.
Yeah. Moral of the story. But everyone should be watching Ash versus Evil Dead, by the way. Finally got around to that. Oh, my goodness. You know, shoot first, think never. That is the
so funny.
The best motto I've ever heard. So, at any rate, sdfgaming.com, as we said, check us out there. We will be back in about 2 weeks with our end of the year, our first end of year show, where we will be talking about the best video games, the worst video games, and monkeys, inevitably. So, any closing thoughts from you gentlemen?
Just some new stuff I'm going to play. I just got in Destiny, which I hope to put a little time in before the next episode.
No, here's
my question. As someone who's never played Destiny, Bo, what do I need to know?
Nothing. You just start shooting stuff.
Just go in there and start shooting stuff.
Right. They're going to give you a bunch of blah, blah about some space who's in my fudge. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm not looking for a story. No.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
out
yeah.
of a fucking
You're
going
to pick
game.
Up a bunch of stuff, and it's like, hey, here's four different forms of currency that you're going to use to buy nothing, because who cares?
Okay.
Just right. keep shooting Got stuff, it. And you're going to pick up guns. Those will be better.
Got it.
Yeah.
I also, my one Black Friday purchase... I got Destiny on Black Friday as well, but I also got quite a bargain, I think. I picked up Bloodborne for $20, so I'm going to give that a try. I am not normally this game is horribly punishing type of guy, but that game looks awful pretty, so I'm going to give that a good shot on the PS4. So.
Yeah, I'll be curious to hear your thoughts on that, because I am of the same mind. That it looks great, but
I don't
great,
like games to just kick me in the dick. Like, I don't care for that.
Yeah, that's that's what a hooker's for.
Yes. So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, but $20 was like, yeah, I'll roll the dice on this and see if it's for me. I mean, obviously, like, it's gotten great reviews, so of that genre, it's a very, very good candidate for, you know, one of the best games of that genre, so... For $20, I couldn't resist. It just looks really, really good.
What about you, Justin? What are you going to be playing?
Rainbow Six Siege. I'll probably do some video when I start playing multiplayer.
Yeah, we got to get some terrorist hunt going on that.
Yes, we do definitely have to do that.
T-Hunt. A little thunt.
Thunt.
You guys want to do some thunt?
That's the name of my deodorant.
Thunt.
Yeah, that's right.
it's your feminine deodorant spray. Yeah.
A little spray under the old twig and berries. A little thunt.
I like a little Dr. Thunter.
My favorite name for any drink I ever saw was caffeine-free diet Dr. Thunder. It's a long tail on that cheap kite.
It costs more money to print the name on the side of it than it does to actually put the liquid in the can.
That's absolutely true. Cafe Grade Diet Dr. Thunder just is like blown off water of Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Thunder is a DJ, not a soft drink. Dr. Thunder.
That would definitely be my DJ name. This is Dr. Thunder. Coming at you.
Bringing the lightning.
It's also what I call myself after a really rowdy Mexican dinner.
Oh my god.
It would be a shock. Well,
the ladies love that too. Come out of the bathroom with like a green cloud behind you. Dr. Thunder is in the house, baby.
Dr. Thunder has brought it.
Behind you, all you can hear is
shh. Are you going to pay for my wallpaper?
The steaming hot hiss of Dr. Thunder.
It's. Speaking of hot springs,
Dr. Snow Thunder monkeys. And his snow monkeys solve everything.
By the way,
get you some snow monkeys.
Dr. Thunder and the Snow Monkeys, my favorite, early 80s adventure movie.
I thought you were going with New Wave Band.
Yeah. I mean, it was both. It was like Big Country. It was the name of the album, the band, the song. Dr. Thunder Dr. and the Thunder Snow Monkeys, name of the movie.
And snowmonkeys.com. We gotta pick that up.
Yeah. It's more of a concept.
It was a concept album by Yes, Dr. Thunder and the Snow Monkeys. God, so good.
Or it's maybe, sounds like a Rush song, like a three-parter. Jesus Christ.
That's also what I call my dick and balls.
I'm done. Oh, fuck, that's great. I see a tattoo in someone's future.
I don't have one yet, but it's happening.
That's a strong candidate, man. It's like, what's the, you know, everybody always says, yeah, I don't have any tattoos, but, you know, I'm just waiting for the right one to come along. Like, something I really want to have.
I think you get Dr. Thunder right on the shaft, and then Snow Monkey on each testicle.
And a couple little arrows, the Snow Monkeys.
The Snow Monkeys. Oh, you got me right, the Snow Monkeys. Oh, my goodness.
That's a podcast title if I ever heard one, man.
I knew it was going to be monkey related. I just didn't realize Dr. Thunder would be showing up to the party, you know?
Anyone from the Dr. Thunder company is watching.
Yes, brought to you by Dr. Thunder.
This podcast brought to you by Diet Dr. Thunder. Caffeine free, Dr. Thunder. I'm
caffeine
sorry.
Free, yeah, I mean. Yeah. You don't want to be up all night.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the discerning consumer who's picking up the 12-pack of Dr. Thunder, but you're worried about your caffeine intake, I think you got the wrong market, man. Picking up Dr. Thunder, you ain't worried about shit.
Snow monkeys will keep you up with their shit all night already anyway. You don't need no caffeine. Oh, man.
I don't know what this show art's going to be. I got to figure it out. So I'll be playing Rebel Galaxy.
I might have to pick that up. That looks pretty tight.
Yeah, we'll do a video. That should be up by the time this lands or shortly thereafter. So keep an eye out for videos of Love in a Dangerous Space-Time and Rebel Galaxy coming to you soon from the Shotcast and SDFGaming.com.
I might try to throw together some Fallout 4 video as well, because there needs to be one of those.
Yeah. I've got a ton of gameplay recorded, but I don't know how much of it's interesting. It's mostly me trying to figure out how the fuck to build a wall.
you and Donald Trump.
Speaking of snow monkeys.
That's a It's more of a Dr. Thunder moment.
I was thinking of the toupee. Dr.
Thunder for president.
The toupee is just a snoozing snow monkey, as far as I'm concerned. All right, guys. Enough. Enough.
Jesus Christ.
Enough. All right. We will be back in a couple of weeks to discuss best and worst and more nonsense. Until then, thank you very much for listening. Drop us a line at the various methods of communication, digital and otherwise. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, then leave us a review. We would appreciate it, and tell a friend.
Yep.
Sorry, I had to go.
I got nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm tapped, man.
Until next time, I'm Dr. Thunder, and these are my snow monkeys. We'll see you then.
And the snow monkeys.